Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, yeah.
Yeah?
I saw this story. I thought this was interesting.
All right.
We live in a world where there is such a thing as a luxury face shield. It is made by Louis Vuitton.
Oh, my God.
I've seen these things.
Louis Vuitton has come out with a face shield.
I was going to send you this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I laughed out loud when I heard it. Like, I mean, you knew it was coming.
Yes. I mean, COVID has lingered long enough now to where you can get
it's an industry.
Luxury, exactly.
It's an industry now, yeah. And there's money to be had, and yep. There's creativity. I've actually seen a cool face shield that I think I want.
Okay.
Is it tactical?
It is not. No, but what it does is you wear it like glasses, and it kind of it eliminates the need for a mask across your face.
Yeah, it's more of a shield.
It's more of a shield, mm-hmm. But it contours to your face,
yeah,
and you can see. It's not like this, but there's a picture up in the studio here that's a little bit more like open. It contours a little bit, so it
dims. So if you go out in the sun, it'll like give you a little.
Well, the Louis Vuitton one does.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. Maybe you need to upgrade.
The one that Andy Reid was wearing during Thursday Night Football on Thursday night, obviously, kept fogging up. So they need to have like anti-fog ones.
One with big holes in it.
Yeah.
Well, like your glasses, they just need to be cleaned.
Yeah.
And it won't fog up.
You can actually use, there's a solution that you can use. And I bought actually two pairs of sunglasses that have, they're treated to stop from the fogging from occurring. But you can also spray a lotion on, or not a lotion, but no.
Essentially, it's soap. It's the same thing for masks.
Yeah.
So when you scuba dive and you wear a mask, they put defogger in there. Or you can use baby shampoo. And the reason you use baby shampoo is because it doesn't burn your eyes.
Oh.
So that's what we have at home for our goggles and such, is you just put a little bit in there and they won't fog up. And
do your goggles have little compartments for bagels?
Same thing for your glasses.
Right.
When wearing a mask, that fog is caused because the surface is not clean enough and that moisture attaches to it.
Okay. Question about that and defogging and windshields. Is there something that you can place on your windshields? Did you just say that?
No.
Oh, okay.
I have the same problem as you, and it drives me nuts.
When it fogs on the inside.
Yeah.
We're living in 2020. Can't there be a solution to
do
that?
You run, when you put the defogger on, it does two things, the process.
Yeah.
Does it work quickly?
Casey and I have had back-to-back cars where it continues to happen for no apparent reason. And maybe Case, it's that it's dirty on the inside.
Are you sure that you have your system set to where air circulates? It does not just, it doesn't circulate.
I'm doing the thing that you're supposed to do.
All right, Rain-X makes a product that is an anti-fog solution.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if that's for the outside or the inside. I've never looked at using it before.
I have the outside stuff that when it rains, it just beads right off.
I love that stuff.
Yeah, you essentially
amazing.
Yeah, you don't Rain-X. Even need your, I almost said hand sanitizer.
You don't even windshield need your hand sanitizer.
You don't need your windshield wipers.
Even in a torrential downpour. Yes, I tried to remember to do that. Now, you need to do it only in the warm months. You can't do it when it's cold.
Oh, man.
I try to remember at the start of spring to put Rain-X on my
I could do it now, though, windshield. Right? It's not cold
yet. Yeah, you'd be
yet.
All right for now, because it only lasts a couple of months anyway. But anyhow, the Louis Vuitton shield will be available for purchase in October, and it will reportedly, they haven't officially announced the price, but it's going to be over $950.
So,
correct
me if I'm wrong, but the only thing that really indicates that it's Louis Vuitton is a very thin
strap.
Right, that's it.
Well, the strap across the top.
Yeah.
That goes around the perimeter of it, and then I think, I'm sure something that goes behind the head will have that. But really, if you're looking at it from the front, it's so small to even see.
No, Kathy, you can't see because there's a glare here, but on like the headband part here.
Yeah, that goes around the head, right.
Yeah, Louis Vuitton. That's got the Louis Vuitton.
But the design of this seems really kind of too open air.
Well, it's similar to, do you remember, who was the... Who is the guy that owned a basketball team in Los Angeles? And
Sterling, the Clippers guy.
Sterling, and his companion.
What was her name?
I forgot, but she wore a face shield like that. And because the thing is, you can flip it up, and it's a visor.
It's true.
And then you pull it down over your face, and it's a screen. So that's what this Louis Vuitton face shield is white, is light, not white. Having a tough time today with that.
So,
a rep denied that the pricing has been announced as of yet, but the Louis Vuitton face shield looks nice. It's trimmed with leather.
Doesn't look nice.
The part that secures it to the wearer's head looks sort of like a headband and less like something that was kind of rigged by a chemical technician, it says in this story. According to Vanity Fair, the Louis Vuitton face shield can be flipped upwards to be worn as a peaked hat.
Shut up.
And it comes with transition lens technology, Steve.
So it darkens as the day moves along, correct?
That's correct.
That's the best part of it. I mean, for $950 is ridiculous, but I mean, there's nothing else like that.
It makes you look like a robot.
Yes. It can make you look like a robot.
I use, and I don't know if you guys do as well, I will take a Wawa bag and I will attach it around my throat with a rubber band.
Okay. Yes. No. Yeah, no, that's what I keep hearing.
Right, yeah.
To do that.
CDC recommend. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you use a Wawa bag, a plastic bag, and put it over your head and then you fix it to your throat with a rubber band, you're golden.
Stop. Kathy, is there a Louis Vuitton store in the King of Prussia Mall?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. There's always a line outside. Always. Now.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I didn't know if it had closed because of the pandemic. And then is there a COVID store in the KOP
yes,
Mall?
Yeah, okay.
You
can
buy your COVID there.
No, you can
do
buy
me a favor
like,
and tell me what's the COVID store.
It's a new store, just opened up, with a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And it's all face masks and just anything you
there
need
you
for COVID.
And by the way, were you the one that sent the picture of a place that's opening soon called Moose Knuckles?
Yes, Moose Knuckles. It's opened.
What is it?
You know what? I wanted to look it up before we talked about it. I think it is outerwear. I think it's jackets.
I thought it'd be the kind of thing you'd put in your yoga pants to make it look.
Seriously. No, I'm pretty sure that Moose Knuckle is like a Canadian company.
Okay.
And I believe it's outerwear.
I mean, listen, there is a place called Camel Towing, right?
Yeah.
People like to do those play on words.
An exposed sweaty veg. It's a new place that opened up in the mall.
Exposed sweaty veg.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet.
It's a grilled cheese place.
Is there a blue waffle anywhere?
Jesus Christ. It's a breakfast place.
Yeah. I guess it's a Canadian store, Moose Knuckles.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
They're hiring assistant manager.
All right.
So if you want to work at Moose Knuckles.
Uh-huh.
Chuck wants to open a place, a bar, restaurant
Ninja Boot?
Down the shore, no, called Barnacles, but spelled Bar Knuckles.
Okay.
I like that.
So he and I had been going back and forth.
Wouldn't that be great? You guys, you have your retirement plan is you run a bar, restaurant
down
the shore?
I don't want to own a bar, restaurant. No, I'd rather own a gas station.
A gas station?
I want to own a gas station.
Okay. But you can't eat gas.
Why do you want to own a gas station?
I don't know. That's what Chuck wants to do. And I'm like, yeah, I could do that. And I could own a gas station.
I'll check your oil.
Here's the deal. When you're going out of Wildwood towards Rio Grande, there is a Riggins gas station on the right that nobody goes to.
Yeah.
And people will actively make a left to go into the Wawa gas station, which, listen, we all love Wawa. This is not an indictment on Wawa.
No, far be it.
Like, dude, it is so packed and crowded there, and people still go there. They go past Riggins.
Is there a price difference?
That's no. Riggins. Why. No, Kathy, Riggins is actually 2 cents cheaper. It was $2.17 a gallon, and it was $2.19 at Wawa. But people are going past the one on the right to turn into the one on the left. It's crazy.
Does Riggins have sandwiches
no,
and things like that?
That's why I want to buy it, and I want to, put some sandwiches there.
You want to compete with Wawa?
I just want to sell gas, really,
I just want to sell gas.
I had some ideas, right?
All I ever wanted to do was sell gas, just like at Riggins.
Case, add this to your idea. Gas station and car wash. There's nowhere down the shore to get your car washed.
No, you're absolutely right. Well, so
and,
down there.
And sells pierogies, too.
Man.
Gas station and pierogies. No, car wash and pierogies.
I love it.
You get your pierogies as your car starts to go through to be washed.
Or would you say pierogies and car wash? Maybe it'd be pierogies and car wash.
You order your food before you go through the car wash.
Pierogue
wash. And then when you get out of the car wash, your food is ready for you.
Right.
I kind of want to eat it while I go through.
Washogies.
All right, so what were you about to say to Kathy?
There's another idea that I have for a food place, and I'm going to call it Sergeant Pepper's.
And it's just
specialized stuffed peppers. That's all it is. So hoagie peppers, pizza peppers.
Just, it would be great.
Peppers.
Sell nothing.
Pepper soup.
Sell nothing pepper related.
Sergeant Peppers. Buffalo chicken peppers.
Yes. Buffalo chicken peppers. Dude, could you imagine eating soup out of a pepper? That'd be pretty good.
please isolate what he just said. I just want.
I want to try.
Out of a pepper.
Really could you imagine it. That?
I like stuffed peppers.
That'd be great.
Omelet peppers.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Hey, do you know who has great stuffed peppers? I kid you not. Costco.
Really?
Costco has great
Sergeant Peppers.
They have pre-prepared meals that you just essentially throw in the oven and they're good to go. They make great stuffed peppers. They make really good meatloaf.
Okay.
Meatloaf and mashed potatoes. They also have a
I want to open up a supermarket called Hey Food.
They have like this soft taco setup.
All right.
And we buy them all the time. They're excellent. You've seen me bring them in here.
Dude, you like always bring in Costco. I just don't have any Costcos that are like convenient for me right now.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you want to open up a stuffed pepper place.
I don't know. These are just ideas I have.
I like it. Yeah. No, I like it.
Million dollar ideas.
Yeah.
You know, but you see they come and go.
Yeah, but Kath, this this gas station, it is a service station, right? So I would get rid of the two bays. I would make it a place where you can actually get some food. And the other idea I had was that what I would do at this place is I would definitely have a section of the convenience store that sold exclusively things that you get down the shore. They have like Johnson's popcorn, the peanut butter place, you know.
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you were going to say we stopped mid-thought. Was you were going to counter Kathy talking about them not having any car washes down the shore?
There, well, I mean, down where I am, just outside in Rio Grande, there is a car wash. I think it's one of those. It might be a do-it-yourself type of car wash, but there is definitely a car wash down there.
It's a car wash slash Cinnabon. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, dude, Cinnabons, they just don't exist anymore, and that's a real shame.
They do at the airport.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean? There's one in the King of Prussia Mall.
Yeah.
Is there?
Yeah, yeah, but that's just a small business.
Yeah.
Go grab that while you get your Louis Vuitton shield.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in fact, your Louis Vuitton shield has a little rack to hold your Cinnabon.
The only Cinnabon that I really knew of was in the one of the, it might be like Molly Pitcher or something like that on the New Jersey Turnpike.
Okay. If we talk about them enough on air, do you think they'll send us some?
Cinnabons?
Yeah. Is that allowed?
Part of the deal is that if you provide free advertisement, they're supposed to send you products.
That's what I thought.
It says right there in the FCC rules.
Right.
Personal enrichment through on-air, unpaid advertisement is strictly encouraged.
Nick, you can do it, but only for your personal enjoyment.
Yes. Okay, see, yes. I mean,
it has to be money that you siphon away from the station for your own personal gain.
That's what I thought. I just want to let you guys.
That's the way it works.
Right, yeah.
By the way, somebody has a great segment for Casey called Casey's Million Dollar Ideas.
I have another one, but I don't want to share it on the air.
I know what it is, a gas station, but the gas pumps pump Cinnabon sauce.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's not my idea. That's yours, but it's brilliant.
Marissa?
Well, while we wait for them, Pillsbury does do Cinnabon flavored cinnamon rolls.
Okay.
Like, you know, the ones you bet in the freezer?
They're not going to be as good, but...
Yeah. Smell good in your house.
Yeah.
I do have a question, though. Is there a place... Like, I have an idea here that I need, like a manufacturer to create something.
Oh,
I need it to be made out of plastic. And I...
Okay. Yeah.
Like a harder plastic I need.
I have one as well. And this is not my idea. It's my son's idea. But are you asking, like, is there a place to register ideas like this? Or are you looking for an actual
manufacturer? He's talking about actually having a place that will step up and take your design and manufacture like a prototype.
Yeah, just a prototype. That's all I need.
Because at some point you have a great idea and you have to get eventually down to the specifics. I've always found this amazing about creating a product.
Right, right.
Is that you have to create that from whatever materials. You got to decide which materials are the correct ones to use. Then you have to have the equipment that manufactures those pieces for you. It's an incredible process.
Like my flying bathtub idea. I don't know who to go to for that.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So if anybody knows there's anywhere to a flying bathtub.
All right, well, maybe somebody can help out. I mean, because you see these people go on like Shark Tank and so on. And they've developed these things. They have these products ready to go, but they had to take
a company. Yes, you're right.
To begin to get that to physically make them happen.
So they do like a I guess it's still called a CAD, a model that, you know, like a la Tony Stark when he's doing the deal and spinning it around, and then somebody with a 3D printer or something will do a depending on the size of the thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, my flying bathtub is larger, so
so you need a manufacturer. Yeah. So Shark Tank, I never really watched, but Chuck loves it, and so I watched a couple episodes with him.
How about my 600-pound life?
My two favorite things on Shark Tank is when the guy starts crying because it's been a passion project of his. Yeah. Like, right, it happens, right, like every, you know, other, yeah, one. Yeah. You know, and they start like,
you need to understand, Sergeant Pepper's has been a lifelong thing.
Imagine eating soup out of a pepper! And then the other one that I love, but I actually hate it, are the little skits that the families do. Oh, you know, yeah, they're the worst.
We're the Wilsons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. They do some choreographing. Yeah. Yeah. Ah, it's dumb. Casey, here we go. Here's from someone who has attempted to get a product together. Says, I did this. I created a product, had it all the way down to blueprints, and then the company said that I need $10,000 to make the prototype.
And that's where you fall prey, and we talked about this.
Yeah.
That you fall prey to companies that will steal ideas, yeah, and or milk your bad idea to drain you of money.
Well, hence Kickstarter.
Kickstarter. Okay,
so that's where you get the investments. You present your idea, and you need to get you need to make sure that it's all not necessarily patented, but that the proper documentation so that someone can't steal your idea, and then you have to ask people for money to help you help make it happen. So
I've fallen prey twice. Now I knew that it was a 50-50 that I might lose the monies. You know, one was a computerized yoga mat thing that looked pretty promising.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
And then a drone that the technology seemed cool. Now there are drones that have mimicked exactly what this drone was promising to do, and yeah, now I have that. But but there are companies that literally will set up Kickstarter programs to raise their money that way, and then they never deliver on it. And yep, for some reason, they can get away with that because they're saying basically in their agreement with you that they... The product doesn't have to be finished or really somehow in the small print.
Well, no, it's,
you get away with it.
It's a good faith thing. It's yeah, like when your friend wants to, yeah, you know, I've had people ask me for money to invest on yeah, like a movie project
or a flying
like
bathtub.
That. And you're not guaranteed anything at all. You're doing it on good faith. It's right, an investment. It's
yeah,
just like buying stock and so on. Steve, the one I almost kickstarted was an ironing board.
So what made this ironing board?
It was badass.
Yeah.
It's one where you would put the shirt on, you slip it all the way on it.
Yeah.
Okay? And then instead of taking it off and flipping it over and doing the other side,
oh, yeah,
the whole thing flips, rotates.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, this is...
That was sold
ironing
on, like...
takes forever. This cuts it in half.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Now, there's probably something yeah, out there now that's like that. That would have been similar.
Maybe.
People prey on these Kickstarter programs. Yeah.
Well, no, the steamer is, because then you don't even have to pull
from
out.
From Cleveland.
Yeah. You don't even have to pull yeah, out the yeah, ironing board.
I know. There's another one where it's a shirt folder.
Do you carry Schultz?
Is it the three panel thing?
Yeah.
I bought one of those.
No. It's, oh, okay, it's computerized, though.
What? Yeah. Excuse me?
You just throw your shirt automated? Over it. It's like, whoop, 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 whoop.
Oh, it's automated. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I will fold your shirt.
I might pay for something like that. Hang on, I'm going to go to Van. Hi, Van. Good morning.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not much, but so you might be able to help Casey out?
Yes, there is a perfect place for this. It's for entrepreneurs. It's downtown. It's called NextFab, NextFab. There's one on Washington Ave. There's one in South Philly. I think there's one in Delaware that just opened up, but it's... Literally, you go there, they have a team that'll put it together, or you just tell them what they want to do, and they'll show you how to do it, and you can pay for the time to make it yourself.
So let me ask you, Van, I think I've seen a news story on this company. Do you know how you secure your idea so that it doesn't fall prey to someone who might be looking to steal a $1 million idea?
Yeah, they have a whole non-disclosure agreement thing that you sign.
All right.
I mean, it's very well done. I went and toured the place, and it's kind of amazing. But
did you bring them an idea? Did you have something you were trying to manufacture?
Yes, I did.
And how far did you get?
I went and talked to them about it, and then I got lazy and didn't follow up.
Is it a flying ironing board?
Yeah, it was a nice ironing board.
The flying ironing board. Yes. I like that, Steve. It's gone from bathtub to ironing board.
There's a whole fleet of flying things that we haven't done yet.
Next fab. I am intrigued by stuff like that. Thanks for the heads up, Van.
Yeah, have a good one, guys.
Right, that's cool. Well, we should do that.
There was a guy that I met one time. A friend of mine was getting married. He was at his wedding, and we were just sitting at the same table, and we started talking. And whatever conversation we got started up in led him to tell me about this invention that he had. And it was for a toy, okay? It was a kid's toy. You might find it at a toy store. And he was showing it to me, and it seemed like a good idea. And essentially, he was trying to get around to me...
Investing
in
it. Yeah.
And I was talking to another person at the wedding, and I was like, yeah, talking blah, blah, blah. He's telling me about this toy. And he goes, oh, Jesus, he's selling you on the toy thing.
You're a mark.
Like, yeah, we've all been hit up by him.
It's called G.I. John.
But he made it pretty far to where they had a prototype. They had a marketing campaign. He showed me pictures of photo shoots of what the advertising would look like and everything. I never saw that toy again ever surface. And it seemed like a fairly unique idea, but... You got to understand the competition is fierce.
It's tremendous, especially in the toy industry. Yeah. You look at those. Well, remember those things that were just a gold mine? And the Goldbergs did an episode where you throw them against the wall and they stick and they kind of.
What was that called?
They crawl. I mean, little gelatinous masses.
Right.
And they were huge. Hey, fidget spinners.
What was that? Oh, gosh. Nick and Kathy, when we were younger, Hydro Colors?
Well, Freaky Freezies?
No, or? not Freaky Freaky.
You had Freaky. That.
Yeah.
Shirt.
Flashlights?
No.
It was a material, and when you would touch it, when you have contact with your body, it would change colors.
Yeah.
Hyper colors.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved those.
Yeah.
You could only wash that shirt like three times, and then it stopped working, essentially, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I remember those. Well, if you want to try your product out, Case, you should check out this place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
Was it called Next Something?
Next Fab.
Next Fab.
Yeah. All right. Look into that. I want to hear your idea, by the way.
I will.
And I think we need to do a segment of Casey's $1 million ideas. All right. Anyhow, we got started on that by the fact that Louis Vuitton has made a face shield, and it only costs you $1,000.
$1,000.
That's it.
Well worth it.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to break and come back with some more B-File stories just for you, hand-picked just for you. So we'll do that in a moment.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
A lot of good stories to share with you. So let me clean out the drawer of junk and pass some of these things along to you. Because I'd hate to just let them go by the wayside.
No. I mean, you go to all the trouble to collect them and then have them just time out.
Come on.
It seems like a crime.
How about this? McKees Rocks, Pennsylvania. I have no idea where that is.
It's in PA.
It's in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, yeah.
But Pennsylvania's a very large state. I don't really know. So, but wherever that is, a 96-year-old woman named Sarah Lyons has become the first... ever at her local bowling alley to roll what's called a no-tap 300. So I've never heard of a no-tap 300 before.
All right, so I know that when I was in a bowling league, the final night of the year, there was a guy, for instance, who he bowled a 300. Oh, man, I think I might be missing.
And the guy left early and you found a bowling shoe and then you tried to find who it was.
Oh, shoot, man. I think I'm drawing a blank here. I'm sort of misremembering. But I want
to
say that if you knock down nine pins, it counted as a strike. But I don't know if that's for all the frames.
Is that what it is? I think you're right, Case, because I looked it up, but I don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense to me.
It's like a fun thing. It's the end. It's the end of the year. You're not playing for necessarily. You're not playing for...
Well, then I'm sorry, Grandma. I'm not impressed.
You're not playing for the championship or anything like that.
Here it is. Yeah, with the nine-pin no-tap, if nine pins are knocked down, it is scored as a strike. With manual scoring, each bowler can have his own no-tap value. So novices and experienced bowlers can compete together. So it's like golf. It's like handicapping.
Right. Okay. Right, right. Okay. So I want to say there was a guy next to me who was about to bowl a 300, and then it was the last frame and the last ball, and he knocked down 9 pins. So we got like a 299.
Right. Wow. Still awesome.
But it was that same night where they were doing no tap. Well, they were doing no tap, and you're right, it doesn't count.
Yeah.
But they were saying that because it was a no tap night, even if he did get a legit 300, it kind of wouldn't have counted because it was a no tap night.
Right.
Oh. I've never heard of no tap. So you're
neither have I.
So it's a perfect game if you knock down 9 pins per frame.
Yep. And I guess the way scoring is, you get a strike, then it's 10 plus what you get on the next 2 balls thrown. So I guess even if you got a 9, it would be also 10 plus what you get on the next 2 balls thrown.
Yeah.
So.
It kind of sounds no fair. I mean, it's like a nice thing to give to somebody, but it doesn't seem like a real perfect game.
Well, for a woman who's 96, nobody's ever done it.
I'm 96 and I lose. They bent the rules to make me feel good.
No. She's still nobody.
They're pandering to
nobody's ever done
Stop
it.
Stop mollycoddling me. What do you think? I'm an idiot.
She's the first ever at her local bowling alley to roll a no-tap 300. Like, nobody's ever rolled a no-tap 300
I won
before.
The 40 miles and under Indianapolis 500.
They're not saying she bowled a 300. They're saying she bowled a no-tap 300. So, anyway.
I had a perfect game in golf. No-tap rules.
So, she said, I won't give up. I won't give up no matter how old I am.
I won the UFC championship.
I love bowling, and the best I've ever bowled is like somewhere in the 230s. And I mean, and if you're rolling at 230, you've had a hell of an outing, and you probably have left like no open frames. You've had a couple, spares or whatever.
You emptied the tank.
How many strikes do you think you would have in a game where you rolled 230?
If I rolled a 230, I would say at least 6 strikes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
So Case, for you kind of bowl in a way that,
I put English on it.
You cradle the ball.
Yeah, I cradle the ball. I basically just put my ring finger and middle finger in the holes,
right.
And then I cup the rest of it with. So no, only my 2 fingers go in the holes, and I throw a little English on it. But I joined a couple. I've been in a few leagues,
right?
And I love league bowling. I mean, it kind of. Well, here's the deal, Press. You and I have bowled together, and we've bowled leisurely. But like, dude, I'm trying to beat Preston.
That's
like,
yeah.
When I bowl against my children, I'm trying to beat my kids.
Right.
If I'm bowling,
you beat the hell out
I'm
of her.
Trying to have the best score out of anybody that I'm bowling with.
Right.
So for me, it's never.
You're going down, Grandma.
It's never like 100% leisure. But when you're in a league, so my plant leg, right? So I plant with my left leg. My left quad is a little sore at the end of a bowling match. It's wild. But then also,
hi, Grandma.
What you have to deal with is the oil on the lanes are different in the third game than they are in the first game.
So these are specific things that somebody who bowls a lot would be aware of.
It's wild. You have to like adapt to all that
stuff. Right, of course.
Oh, yeah. Man, I want to join another bowling league.
Why don't you face off against Grandma?
Apparently they
bend the rules.
Pandemic's over.
They're not bending the rules,
absolutely,
man.
She's living a lie.
All right, let me see what else I got in the junk drawer.
Hi, Grandma.
All right, so if you're looking to move somewhere with a healthy lifestyle, you might think about Colorado. U.S. News and World Report examined nearly 3,000 counties looking at factors like environment, food, safety, and access to care. The results, 6 out of the 10 healthiest counties in the United States were in Colorado.
Whoa.
Does not surprise me.
Colorado just makes you feel, crisp is the word that comes to
mind. Well, nature is a big part of it.
And pot.
And getting in nature is a big part of it. And so Nick's family lives in, his mom and dad live in Colorado. The last time I went there, I saw so many, and it was in the summertime.
Right.
Everybody was outside exercising.
You are forced to go outside. There's nothing about Colorado that makes you want to stay inside.
Yeah.
My parents spend half the year. They're actually driving back today to spend the other half of the year here in Pennsylvania.
They're entering a bowling tournament, right?
Yeah. No,
they get
depressed when they leave Colorado, and they love PA. They love being close to family back here, but they really prefer to be in Colorado at this point. And I don't blame them. My youngest brother, Josh, moved there as well. And listen, I love my job. I love my son. I love my life in PA. But if I lived anywhere else in this country, it'd be Colorado.
It's where you go to break bones.
Well, there are upsides and downsides, but I'd go back in a heartbeat.
Well, he's broken his bones in many states.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Broken ankles in New Hampshire. And,
it's east and west for Nick.
All right, so wait. All right,
Nick
so
has a scrapbook full of x-rays.
Your ankle in New Hampshire, your leg in Colorado.
Collarbone in Jack Frost.
Yep. Okay, that was still Pennsylvania, so it almost doesn't count.
Yeah.
The Achilles was in New Hampshire?
I ruptured my Achilles and tore a calf muscle, so technically didn't break a bone in New Hampshire. I've only broken two bones.
Oh, okay.
Arizona's also a healthy.
I love
Arizona. So the number one spot went to Los Alamos, New Mexico.
Okay.
And other spots belong to counties in Virginia and Minnesota as well.
So I have this, and I think it's a disorder, where whenever I go and vacation somewhere, I want to live there. I don't know if you guys end up having that as well.
No?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I enjoy it, but I don't always. I always think that the notion is if I live there, I would enjoy it less.
Yeah.
The other day, I just said, I want to be in Hawaii right now. Right now.
Could you live there?
I don't know, Nick. Just because of the island nature. I mean, I can see island fever where you just feel, even though you're in an expanse, you still feel kind of trapped.
Gorgeous.
I don't know, but it's so tranquil.
Yeah, and I had a friend that lived there for 2 years, and she could not wait to leave. Like, she couldn't get out of there
fast enough.
Yeah, and like, I went over and visited, and of course, you know, I was only there for 2 weeks or whatever I was there for, and, you know, I was like, I don't understand how you would ever want to leave. I don't understand how, you know, I'm telling you, she was like, no, I need to come home. Like this, she was a teacher. She said the school year can't end quick enough.
It's interesting because if you do live in a place, it's like, you know, I want to work in that place or I want to, too much of anything can,
I guess,
sully it. And I know Hawaii is fantastic and gorgeous, but I wonder if it would wear thin after a while.
Nick looked up the county in Virginia, Steve. It's Loudoun County, Virginia. It's right outside of D.C.
Huh. Yeah,
just where Leesburg is, so north and west of D.C.
Wow, wouldn't expect that. There's another one, Falls Church, Virginia.
My other brother lives in Falls Church.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Marissa's boyfriend lived in Colorado for a long time and named his beer company after Larimer County. There's a lot to be said for that type of lifestyle and
healthy living.
Healthy living, getting outside. Yeah. And listen, you made a joke about pot, but if that floats your boat, places where it's legal like that and practically encouraged.
Yeah.
So I had to look up the unhealthiest counties in the country and so I couldn't find that, but the unhealthiest county in Pennsylvania, Kathy, is Philadelphia County. Thank God it's not Delco or Bucksco, right?
Yeah, we're pretty healthy out in Bucksco.
The unhealthiest county in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Okay.
Philadelphia.
Is that true? Like you actually looked that
I'm
up?
I'm looking it up right now. Yep.
All right, so Colorado, if you want to get healthy, you're kind of encouraged by your surroundings to do there. All right, here's another thing. Oh, wait, let me reach in the drawer first and get it.
Because I'm actually reaching into a drawer to get these stories.
We are.
Theater of the mind.
So this is about windshield wipers. This guy wrote this article. I didn't get a chance to see what the source was, but I'm in this camp. Okay, so
all right.
There's a phenomenon with windshield wipers that this guy has noticed with people.
Are you the noticer, or is this the junk
food? No. It's not me noticing it. This is this guy noticing, the author of this article. He said, when it's raining, so he does automotive. He has like an automotive column. When it's raining, some drivers will staunchly refuse to turn on their wipers until the windshield is absolutely so pockmarked with water droplets that looking out of it looks like you're looking out of some bizarre painting or something
like
that.
Does he hypothesize as to why people would do that? And what is the reason?
And I think that I may fall into this category.
You don't turn it on?
I turn them on, but I wait.
You wait.
I wait. I don't start right away. And
you don't want to burn gas needlessly.
And this is what he thinks. No, it's not that at all.
Oh,
it's an inane stubbornness. By putting the wipers on, you are admitting some kind of defeat.
No, really?
You have the rain has beaten you.
Yes,
100%.
Once those wipers are on, nature knows she has bested you.
It is the same phenomenon. That why I refuse to turn on the air conditioning in May, even though it's warm out, because I am then giving in to nature, saying it's warm enough that I have to turn this on. So
and just this weird little
same mindset. It's completely idiotic, and I acknowledge that.
Yeah. What about putting on a coat?
As it gets colder?
Nah, for me, it's like it's the admitting to nature that I need to use a machine to beat nature.
But some people are that way, Steve, as well. It's like wearing shorts or
shorts
putting on a jacket.
We talked about the phenomenon of the all the way through the winter shorts wear.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I sold my Corvette recently, and the unwritten rule, Corvette is owners, you don't take it out when it rains.
Right.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you don't. Number one, you don't want your precious car getting dirty. Mm-hmm. And number two, it's got a lot of horsepower and it's rear-wheel drive and you can slip and slide all over the place.
Gotcha.
So, and I remember one time I was in a pinch. I was in the rain. I didn't know it was going to rain. And I didn't know how to turn on the windshield wipers.
No, really?
Oh, that's funny.
And I'm like fiddling. Do I twist it? Do I go up and down? I don't know. And I was all scared and freaked out.
What's going on?
Maybe I should drive faster.
So
it's not working. Yeah.
Did you clean that car a lot?
Yeah, a fair amount.
Okay, like anybody
Did
I know.
You do it slowly in short shorts?
Yeah.
No. Well, no, but anybody I know that has a car like that, like they're obsessed with cleaning it.
Yeah.
And it always has to be spotless. Well, and they do it themselves.
Yeah.
And there's special cleaning supplies. And
I didn't have special cleaning supplies. No. But it's, you know.
You'd go out with a rag and like check each little dust particle.
Any little bitty thing, even in the wheel well.
Yes.
Little black marks. Get
tire
in there.
Shine. Toothbrush.
I didn't really do the tire shine. No, I didn't do. Yeah. I didn't get to toothbrush level. But
I love the tire shine.
Yeah, keeping it showroom clean is kind of a
thing. I watched my friend's husband clean his car, and I was like, what? I don't understand what he's doing. What's happening there? He's like, well, don't you see that little spot? I'm like, no.
Yeah, you've got to drive it and enjoy it.
Yeah. Just think of inside your house.
Like, listen, I know. I understand. But it just was so funny at how meticulous he was.
Yeah. I keep my car clean for resale. I mean, I make sure. I keep.
Yours is always clean. Now.
Yeah. And because eventually, when I trade it in, I wanted to be
mine
good
should be
to
good for resale. It has a nice mocha scent.
The natural mocha.
The natural mocha scent.
It's a psychosomatic thing. Like, don't you feel like your car drives better when it's clean? You know, like, you're like, oh man, this.
I am more aware of my car when it's clean.
I used to. You know? I used to every couple of months I'd do it, and it was not. Of course. It's just different. Sometimes your mindset. I was never a car guy. I always had, you know, used cars by a couple of years, and it was, you know. But then I started to fall in love with them a little bit, and then you do want them to look nice. You also want to make sure that you clean like salt off and stuff like that, corrosive materials. Yeah, becomes part of the maintenance.
So I'm a monthly member of my car wash, right? So I can get my car washed as many times as I want a month. But I've noticed though, because I was talking about the tire shine, that when my car is clean, it doesn't look as good unless I put the tire shine on. Do you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I love that.
You're all a bunch of privileged jackasses. That's what a texter says. But right below that, somebody had said, I got my first Harley Davidson in June. I clean it every weekend.
There you go.
It's something to do. It's so you appreciate what you have. And
I clean it all the time.
And taking really good care of it.
Somebody texted in earlier, Steve, that saw Bill. I got to find it, Preston. He saw it because Bill brought his Harley into work today, and this person saw him out on the road. So, and he had an observation. I want to see if you guys agree with it, but I'll find it.
By the way, there was a gorgeous one in the parking lot the other day.
Oh, was
there? Blue on it. It wasn't.
That might be Bill.
I don't think it's Bill.
Bill's is blue and pink.
Is it?
Yeah, no, it's blue. But
if that's Bill's, he's got a good looking bike.
Yeah, it is nice.
Who else would it be? Nobody else is in this building except for us.
That's true. Let me go to Kevin because I don't quite get this. Hey, Kev, good morning.
Hey, as for windshield wipers, do you guys ever feel self-conscious about the speed of yours versus the speed of everybody else?
No.
Well, his is on fast.
I know what he's talking about. If you see, I think someone looks goofy if they have their windshield wipers cranked up all the way and like you've gone through a storm and they're still running at ultra high speed. I can see that.
A light drizzle. And you see somebody with theirs like bang, bang, like pull across their windshield.
It's embarrassing.
You're like, I hope I'm not that guy.
You idiot.
You should be ashamed of yourself. No, I can see that. I think he makes a point. You don't want to be the idiot who still has your windshield wipers.
I won't turn mine on. I'll flick the switch forward and let them flick on and then pop them right back off because I don't want anybody else to know that I'm worried about the rain, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
I'll manually hit him.
Thanks, Kev. We're looking at a picture of Bill Weston's bike. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
I saw it out in the parking lot. Man, he must have polished it up because it was I stopped and admired it for a moment. It was
I
rubbed one out on it.
Yes.
What is this?
No, I saw.
I didn't clean up all the polish.
Here's the text that Nick saw. I said, I just saw Bill Weston riding his motorcycle. He looks like a modern day Ichabod Crane.
Wow.
That's from Headless Horseman, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
We actually found out he looks like Matthew Modine.
He does. He absolutely does.
Should we get Bill an Annabelle doll to put on the back seat of his motorcycle?
That's perfect.
Wait, we had an Annabelle doll, did we not?
What I don't know where it went. Yeah. It pisses me off.
All right, let me see what else we got in the junk drawer. That was, did you hear the mousetrap?
It's amazing.
It's incredible. George Washington couldn't topple it, but more than 200 years later, a thing called Holliston's Balancing Rock has been toppled. It is a large rock that weighs 5 tons, 20 feet long, 10 feet wide, 6 feet thick, was spotted to have fallen down sometime on Tuesday afternoon. And it's got some history to it. Local town legend has it that George Washington, on a tour of Massachusetts in 1789, came upon the rock off of...
It's disgusting.
What is today? No. He didn't come upon the rock. Anyhow, what is known today as Washington Street.
Uh-huh.
Washington and the troops accompanying him on his tour of the eastern states came upon the Balancing Rock. And here he paused to contemplate the precariously tilted rock. And as tradition is recorded, he made a valiant attempt to dislodge the boulder. He probably wasn't the first to attempt it, and he wasn't the last. Several of his men tried and failed. And hundreds of years later, the balanced rock has finally fallen over. And
I've seen this rock. This is very famous.
They don't know how, but it fell.
How shall I topple this rock? Yeah. And why do they call it tying the knot?
So it's just one of those things that's been there forever,
yeah.
You know, for local, current generations, and that has now come
what
to an
What was
end.
That rock that boulder pressed, and the people got in trouble? It was
was out west?
It was out west, and it was a kind of a monumental sort of destination point, and they effed with it and caused it to topple.
Yeah. I don't remember the exact name of it, but I remember that story.
Just leave it there. It's nature. And so with this thing, I hope that it just fell. I hope somebody
There's not an old woman underneath there?
Oh, my God.
An old woman who just won a bowling trend?
She was celebrating her NoTap 300.
Uh-huh.
We're going to dance on the rock. Holy Jesus!
Because you have to assume that those rocks are there through glaciers, right? Like they were glacially put there.
Or FedEx.
Yeah, FedEx possibly. Nick, you did Acadia National Park this summer. Did you, when you went to Cadillac Mountain, did you hike around there? And did you get to that one overlook where the giant boulder is there?
I did go to the Cadillac Mountain. I don't remember the boulder you're talking about.
Yeah, but... no, you would know it. So there's just this boulder that's overlooking this cliff. You're like, how the F did this thing get here? And it was glaciers. Glaciers, yeah.
Yeah, they have a couple of those in Yellowstone, too, where, like, in the middle of the woods will just be this giant boulder completely out of place, and it's like that was moved there glacially.
Yeah. Where's that? There are so many structures and so many, like, monument park. You have these incredible, bizarre things. You say, how did that possibly form that way? But that's erosion and the glacial movement. It's amazing.
Yep. It's very, very
Devil's
slow.
Tower is a perfect example of something that seems like how could that possibly be?
Yep. Over time, it happens. So this rock, this legend, it's all they have in this town, man. They just got
They got the rock.
They don't have it anymore.
I got a big stack of porn mags.
But, Steve, now it's a monument to the woman who bowled a NoTap 300.
Okay.
Is she underneath?
I just won a rigged bowling tournament.
Oh, all right, I have some other things here. All right, if you're tired of the same old emojis,
clap your hands.
Good news. You're going to have over 200 new options come next year.
I can't even find them anymore.
No, there's too many.
There's too many.
Who is the main provider of emojis?
A really good question.
I know that, like, Apple generates their own.
Here we go. The Unicorn Consortium.
It sounds ominous.
As the organization in charge of emoji creation.
We are now a member of the Unicorn Consortium. This is Diablos. He created the poop emoji.
Well, he's got to be a legend then in the world of the Unicorn Consortium.
This man created the eggplant emoji.
Which is also used as a penis. Yeah, that's right.
So a new load of emojis are being unveiled next year.
We shall unleash a new bunch of emojis on the world.
Many of which will reflect the chaos of 2020, including a mending heart, a heart on fire, and a face with spiral eyes.
Spiral eyes? They're watching. Oh, so what is that supposed to be? Like dazed, drugs?
Hypnotized, I would imagine,
yeah.
Type of thing? Or
I think maybe you're effed up.
Face in the clouds, face exhaling. I like the heart on fire.
Yeah.
Does that mean I'm burning up with love?
Woman with beard, person with beard.
Beard without person.
See, okay, but the woman with beard just looks like a guy with a
beard. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, it has the female hair. That's the female hairline that
How
they
would
use.
You know?
Because I'm just saying in the emojis, that's what they use.
As the female hair. Okay, so the consortium also included over 200 different skin tone selections, as well as gender inclusive options with male, female, and gender neutral beards.
I think I'd pass by the nuances in an emoji are often lost on me.
Yeah.
Me too. I got to put my glasses on to see. Yeah.
You can't see without your glasses.
That's right. Okay, what else? I have time for more.
Yeah, one more.
One more. I got to make it a good one here. All right, yes, we'll end with
What's this. It going to be, boy?
It's going to be yes. A team of paleontologists have discovered what they believe is the world's oldest animal sperm frozen inside a tiny crustacean in a blob of tree resin in Myanmar. 100.
That's the archaeologist.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
100 million years ago. The oldest known examples of fossilized animal sperm were previously a mere 17 million years ago. According to a team of experts led by Wang He of the Chinese Academy of Science.
What do they believe the sperm from what creature did they leave again?
Yes, they were the sperm were found inside an ostracod.
A pterodactyl's mouth.
A kind of crustacean that has existed for 500 million years and can be found in many oceans today.
Who knew that the dinosaurs performed oral on each other?
They were found in the body of a female specimen, indicating that she must have been fertilized shortly before being trapped in the tree resin.
A female archaeologist.
To make the find even more special, the sperm were also described as giants, measuring up to 4.6 times the size of the body of the male.
Dude, they found it in amber, just like in Jurassic Park. I mean, that's pretty remarkable that is actually possible.
They've danced around that concept. That was a Michael Crichton book, I believe.
Yeah.
And, a lot of the stuff that they initially poo-pooed from saying that's really not a possibility, they're starting to find out that's a possibility.
They're finding these things, but I also read a story that said the fact is, even though it's kept in there and it's been preserved, the DNA doesn't survive to be used.
Now, are they making inroads in reactivating the genetics?
That I don't
know.
But I know things like the woolly mammoth, they've had more success with being able to possibly...
Well, they're more recent,
genetically
too.
Recreate them.
Right, like the saber-toothed tiger would be in that realm as well, right? That was more post-dinosaur.
Yeah, because with the mammoth, for example, they have actual genetic material. You know, it's not...
And wallets.
And it's not 100 million years old. You know, it's 10,000 years old.
Yeah. Right.
Fossilized shells of the ostracods are common, but finding a specimen with, quote, soft parts is rare.
That guy is so horny, he'd hump a dinosaur.
Oh, yeah.
There
are be my Cretaceous thing.
There are several conflicting theories about
you're going to be my regular Cretaceous thing.
The evolutionary value of such giant sperms.
Oh, yeah.
For example...
You never knew archaeology could be so erotic.
For example, experiments have shown that in one group, a high degree of competition between males can lead to a longer sperm life.
Oh, yeah.
While in another group, a low degree of competition also led to a longer sperm life.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I do like the cartoon in Jurassic Park where they...
So do I.
The
yeah.
little thing teaches you about dino DNA.
Yeah.
What the hell is this crap?
Dinosaur.
You're all going to die.
Yeah.
You don't know, but there's virtually no safety measures inside the park. Mm-hmm. When you take your little ride later on, look at the nine wires that are separating you and a Tyrannosaurus Rex.
That's dinosaur.
That seems rather stupid, doesn't it?
The nine wires. I hope there's not a storm coming.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That'd be unfortunate if the power went out.
And that is all I have for the junk drawer this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for allowing me to clean it out. All right, we're going to take ourselves a break. And, hang close because we got some more good stuff coming for you, my friend.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Evanescence. Rise Against. Dirty Honey.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Apparently, over the past few weeks, Marissa has been taking little snips of moments that each of us has had on the air. And I think that they tend to be nonsensical noises that might come out of our mouths rather than the standard speaking, which is pretty nonsensical, too. And she has edited them together and looped them, apparently, over and over. So much so that she says we should try to play a contest with this.
I'm down with this. Yes.
So she's taken them and looped them at some little slip-ups, flub, whatever it may be.
I love this.
Repeated over and over and over and over. And so much so that you may not know who it is. So your opportunity to guess at who made the noise is what we're going to give to you and a chance to win a prize. So if you're interested, it is Loop. There it is, the show member edition. So let's try this out. We've never taken this out for a spin.
As professional broadcasters, we endeavor to provide enough screw-ups to keep contests like this going.
Oh, that's where this came from?
Yes, I didn't
realize that.
All right, so while you're calling in, though, there's another little piece of audio I'd like to play. Apparently, Casey found this, and what's the story behind this, Casey?
All right, so this is something really cool for Philadelphia Eagles fans. They have been this all, you know, it would have been great if they won the Super Bowl. But all this season, they have been filmed by Amazon Prime for a behind the scenes look at their season. It's a program that they call All or Nothing. If you've never seen anything like it, it's like 24/7. You know,
I love that.
HBO started doing that. But, yeah. 24/7. Basically only does like training camp. This is the entire season, and it's actually going to start streaming on Amazon Prime tomorrow. And so they've been promoting this on social media, Twitter and Instagram, and they're promoting it with essentially something that started on our show.
You are indirectly in this show.
Yeah.
Casey.
Essentially, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you are the star.
Do you want to set it up, or do we play this first?
Let's play it first.
All right, we'll play this first, and then we'll explain.
It's not that game, bro. That's a Pee-wee Herman.
Yeah, that's that Pee-wee Herman. I said I'd do it one time. That shit was funny. I ain't know what I was gonna do right there.
All right, so that's Brandon Graham, who was on our show 2 days before that.
Yeah,
on that Friday, and Casey had told him, "Hey, if you make a big play, do the Pee Wee Herman dance."
A sack, right?
Yeah.
Specifically, I think you said, yeah.
If you sack the quarterback, can you do the Pee Wee Herman dance? Now, listen, I've been asking players to do something, a little sign to me forever and ever. Like Rhys Hoskins, I've asked him to, like, you know, pound his chest twice and point up to the sky or whatever. So this isn't like I've never done this before. So, and I was like, all right, it's got to be something that's not so outrageous that he's not going to do it, something that he's going to remember to do and all that sort of stuff. And that's why the Pee Wee Herman dance just sort of popped out.
And lo and behold.
Dude, he did it. You know the worst part, Steve, is I went and picked up barbecue for that game. They were playing the Jets.
What were you thinking?
Well, I missed it happening live.
Oh, my God.
I missed it happening live. And I'm driving home from the barbecue place. If you want to know a barbecue place, just send me an email. I'll tell you. I'm not going to say it live on the air. And I hear him. I hear the play of him sacking, I think it was Luke Falk, the quarterback for the Jets. I go, I can't believe It was like the first or second defensive play of the entire game. I'm like, I can't believe this is happening. I'm like, he didn't do it. I know, you know, because they don't say, oh, and now he's doing the dance. But then I got text messages. Tim Graham texted me. All these people had heard it. They're like, dude, I can't believe it. He did the Pee Wee dance. And I'm like, you got to be effing kidding me.
All right. So you found out it was DVR to record it, but you finally saw it.
I did finally see it. My mom was watching it downstairs. I went downstairs. Yeah. I rewound it, and I got to actually watch it happen. So
it ends up on this show as part of the first promotional push to get people to watch it. How wild is that?
That's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And to show his appreciation, Brandon Graham came down to the camp out and for an interview.
Yes.
Every day.
I've been talking to Brandon Graham, and a lot like the Camp Out for Hunger, he said he would love to come on our show.
I got you.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
Let me play this clip again.
It's not that day, bro. That's a Pee Wee Herman shit.
Yeah, that's that Pee Wee Herman. I said I'd do it one time. That shit was funny. I ain't know what I was going to do right there.
Is that Pee Wee Herman-esque?
Yeah, so that's Vinny Curry who's saying that to him.
That's
funny. And then what's even funnier is because before the game, I think he's told, you know, his fellow linemen that he was going to do that.
Yeah.
And so when
he remind him.
Yeah, so when he made that sack, Fletcher Cox is going, do the dance. And then he did it. So, yes.
I love it. I love it. And he followed through. He's a good man for doing that.
It's funny because I'm like reaching out to the All or Nothing show folks saying, hey, if you want the audio where this started, you know, we'll send
it
to you.
Son of a bitch, if we hadn't known it was in production, you could have grabbed that audio. But now the show's already about to premiere. I doubt they need it. But the offer still stands.
Yep. That's still cool.
That is cool.
All right. Well, listen, let's try this game out. We're playing a loop. There it is. The Preston and Steve Show member edition. And I'll cue you in a little bit. Marissa is not in any of these. She didn't have any moments of herself saying that there were 700 billion people watching the World Cup or anything like that. But she did grab stuff from the rest of us on the show, and you just said, hey, listen, you got a 1 in 5 shot. All right, so, but let's give it a try. Maybe you can nail it first time out. I'm going to go to Ryan and let him take a crack at it. Hey, Ryan, how you doing, man?
Hey, Shapoopy.
Shapoopy, buddy. All right, so we're going to play this clip. It's going to be really, really weird. You, unfortunately, are the first one that gets to take a shot at this. But listen closely and tell me if you can figure out which show member I'm playing audio from, and I'm waiting. Hang on a second.
I need Marissa in here real quick because once these things say answer, I just don't want to play.
Wow, they're all...
They all say answer.
They're labeled really weird.
Yeah.
There you go.
You can play an answer for me.
Yeah, he wants the answer. He's requested the answer if you could.
All right, Casey. Wow, these are... I'm sorry. Sorry about this, Ryan. We didn't look at this ahead of time. All right. Which one are you going to play, Casey?
I am going to do... I'm going to go in your order there, Preston.
Okay, perfect. All right, here's the loop. You ready?
Got it.
After all that, Ryan, here it comes. All right. Which show member was that?
That's got to be Kathy.
It is.
Yes. Oh, my God. I got it wrong. I thought it was you, Preston.
That was me?
No. Here's Kathy. The answer if you want to hear it.
Okay. This is the actual clip that was taken from.
She's in the pool. Yeah. She's
and
wet.
That's why we went.
Right. It's a play on words. Is that it? Yeah. Yeah.
Kathy loves to hear herself laugh, by the way. Loves it. Hang on a second. Let me play it.
Right. It's a play on words.
If I'm editing audio for the promo, like, Kathy's like, oh, my God. And do you hear your voice? Oh, my God.
Yep. Sometimes I can't even sit in there. It bothers me so much. All right.
Let's go to another call. I like this already. Let me go to Kara. Hey, Kara, good morning.
That's it.
What?
Is your connection bad?
I don't know. Kara, can you hear me okay?
Hello?
Yeah. There you go.
What were you saying?
Gadzooks.
Oh! Yeah, the phone was breaking up.
We definitely didn't hear that.
Well, let's try this out. You see how this works, Kara?
Yeah.
All right. Tell us which show member this clip is. Here we go.
Dodie, 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 Dodie.
Steve.
No, that's a gimme.
Wow. No, sorry. That's not Steve.
Oh.
All right, we'll go next to Ryan. Hey, Ryan, how you doing?
Yo, bitches.
Yo, bitch. What? All right, you ready to hear this?
Yes, sir.
I'll play it again.
Dodie, 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 Dodie.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Any idea, Ryan?
I got two in mind, but I'm going to have to go with Nick.
No.
Oh.
I thought this one was easy.
Incorrect. Yeah, me too.
We'll do three people per guest.
Yeah,
is that okay with you
that's
guys?
Fair.
All right. Yeah, let me go to or three per the sound effect. Dan, are you there?
I am. Big Brown Guadalupe.
Oh, Dan.
You were so close. I'll give you a B+, a Bill Weston grade.
Nice. Dan, do you need to hear that again?
No, I think it's you, Preston.
You are correct.
Yeah. That was fresh, right? That one?
I think it was might have been yesterday or the day before. Let me play the answer clip, if you would.
Right here.
All right, here this is where it came from.
Dodie do dooby doo. Ya da da.
What song was that?
It was X Ambassadors.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and at
Renegades.
The end,
Renegades.
And at the end of it, I was singing along with the melody of the music, and it was do 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 do, and I started going do dee do yada be. All right, next one we will go to. Let me see here. It's Joseph. Hey, Joseph, how you doing?
I'm doing well, and yourself, Gadzooks?
Wonderful, Gadzooks to you. All right, Joseph, you heard how it works, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, listen closely. Tell me which member of the President and Steve Show this is.
God, we're effed up.
I'm going to go with Casey.
No.
Again, I thought.
Sorry, Joseph. That's incorrect. We'll try.
That's like when the Joker dies at the end of the first movie.
What I was saying.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me go to Andrea. Hi, Andrea.
I feel so privileged to talk to you this morning.
You are privileged. All right, Andrea, do you need to hear that again?
Yes, please.
Here we go. All right, Andrea.
That's hard. I'm going to say Steve.
No.
Oh.
Incorrect. Sorry. We get one more to take a shot at it. It is Craig that we're going to go to. Hi, Craig.
Howdy.
All right, Craig. Do you need to hear it or you want to guess?
I'm going to guess. I mean, it's kind of process of elimination. It sounds like one of your laughs. I'm going to go with Preston.
Yeah! Casey. All right, by the way, here's the answer. This is me, the full clip of that goofball laugh. Here we go.
What's hairy, though?
I was going to say they handle everything.
They hairy your clothes.
And I put handle and every and made it hairy.
At these times, you need someone who cares about your clothes and hairies it correctly.
Hey, by the way, is that the part of your laugh that you got back?
Part of it. It came back for a day, and then it went away.
Oh, what, that's it?
Because you were so happy you rediscovered your laugh.
I know. I used to have a very hearty laugh.
Yeah.
And as I have aged, in the past 6 months, I've lost part of it. It sucks.
Maybe you need like a laugh procedure.
Yeah, something like that. But I'm a lot of times you'll see me with my mouth open and no noises coming out. I don't laugh the way I used to. Sucks. All right, well, let's go to another caller. Oh, wait, we're going to do another caller first. I'm going to go to John. Hey, John, how you doing?
Hey, Presbo.
Nobody. All right, you ready to play this game, John?
Yes, sir.
All right, tell us who this is.
Final.
Oh, my God. Oh,
man. I'm going to say Nick.
Yes! You got it, John. Let me play the answer, Casey.
All right.
This is what it sounded like when Casey initially did that.
But then you get to see the final product.
Nick, I'm sorry.
Wow.
That's good.
But then you get to see the final product.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Slows down mid-word.
Oh, my God.
So you can get to see the...
Not that funny.
It's like The Matrix.
Then you get to see the final product.
Sometime.
Okay.
Sometime.
The screening is at the... El Zader. It's like the Matrix. It's like bullet time.
It reminds me a little bit of the time that I said rim job backwards.
Bushmere.
Bushmere. We need to do that again.
That's a good contest. Filthy words backwards.
You know what? I'm gonna write that down before I get that.
Send it to Kathy.
Backwards. Words. I'll never remember it. I gotta jot it down. Sorry. Okay. Let's go to Matt for Loop. There it is, the Preston and Steve Show Member Edition. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good. All right, Matt, we're going to play one for you. You ready?
Yep.
All right, listen closely and tell us which show member this is.
Wow.
Matt, any idea?
I guess I'm going to have to go with Steve.
No.
No. No.
Nope. I'm going to try Jim out on that. Hey, Jim.
Yeah, Kappa.
Yeah, Kappa. All right, listen to this. Here we go. All right, who's that?
What did the last guy say?
He said me.
He said Steve.
He said Steve.
Okay, I want to say Kathy.
No. No. Incorrect. We'll do another caller. It's Brett. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Preston, is there some of the, just improv that you have been known to, been come to known as?
God, you did that perfectly. Well done.
You want to check
I can't do that. I can do the, hey, everybody's good to have you on the ba ba to da ba to ba 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 do ga ga ba ba da, but I can't do that. Is there some of the, just improv that you have been known, been come to known as? Damn, Brent, I'm impressed.
That was very good. I hope you win.
Well, yeah.
I can't do the Pierre one.
So, it's a hard one.
All right. Well, do you know the answer? Do you need to hear it again?
Let me hear it again.
All right, here we go. Okay.
That's not even a word.
It's not.
But you... I'll go with Steve.
No.
He's already guessed.
Sorry about that.
That's me, folks. Yeah. It's my wheeze laugh.
And also the idea was you could last longer if you ended up getting the
really lucky. Yeah. What I would do is I would take, at least I would talk about going to a restaurant on the first date. I would take the date to a restaurant I could rub one out at.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
It's so funny that Marissa listens for these little bitty things and picks up on them like that. Do we have time to do another one or two?
Yeah.
All right, we'll go to Austin. Hey, Austin.
Hey, is this the Wriggle?
The Wriggle Theater.
That was quick.
Yeah,
that was very quick. It's not that funny.
Not that funny, y'all.
All right, so Austin, we're ready to play the mystery clip for you. Ready?
All right.
All right, tell us which show member this is. By the way, this is the one that gave Marissa the idea for the contest in the first place.
Love it.
Any idea who that might be, Austin?
Is it Casey?
No. Oh. Incorrect. Thank you, sir. We'll go next to Zach. Hey, Zach.
You know, it's a really heart-sinking feeling when the guy right before you takes your answer and he's wrong.
All right, well, let me play this again and you can reassess. You ready?
All right, let's have it.
Here we go.
Oh, God.
That reminds me of a video game. I can't quite place it, but who do you think that might be? What?
Gallagher.
Yeah, I think you're right. Zach?
I was
going to say Gallagher.
Oh, God. Can I get it one more time?
All right, Zach.
Is it Miss Romano?
No. I'm so sorry. We'll try one more. We'll go to Joe. Hey, Joe.
Booty call.
What was that?
Booty call.
Oh, booty call. I love that song.
All right, Joe, what do you think?
I'm just going to go. Is it Nick?
It is Nick!
Wow. What the hell is that from?
All right. So we have the full clip of Nick making that little noise. Here it is.
Unmod. Yeah. I lost it.
Oh, that was just him saying, well, you kind of rolled your L a little bit.
Yeah, and that was on purpose.
It. Yeah.
Wow. Lost it.
Lost it.
I lost it. lost it.
Lost it. All right, let's do another one.
It's the Wookiee in you coming up.
We'll go to Scott. Hi, Scott.
Please get out of the cock-a-doodle car.
Good, too. We got a lot of good ones.
That's for Casey. All right, brand new one, Scott. You ready?
Bring it.
Here we go.
Shing, 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 shing.
I love that.
Scott, any idea?
I'm going to, like, spitball. I'm going to say it's Casey Boy.
You got it!
Shing, 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 shing.
All right.
Some of these have made good ringtones.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually. One more, Case?
Well, I want to hear the answer for that one.
Oh, yeah. All right, here we go. This is when Casey did that.
Especially indoor pools, because that smell is contained.
Yeah. You
know, outdoors would be different, but, like, outdoors have that awesome sheen.
Sheen, sheen.
From the sun. Okay. Wish I could take that back.
Oh, that's good. I love it.
Yeah. Be different, but, like, outdoors have that awesome sheen.
Sheen, sheen.
From the sun.
It's just the word. The word sheen inspired you to go sing sheen. It's not that funny.
It's not that funny.
All right, we'll go to the next call. I'm going to get Sean on the phone line. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Preston. I don't need to hear the clip. Casey was pooping not far from the Blue Room.
Oh. True.
That is true.
Very
true. That is very true.
All right, but we're going to play the clip for you anyway. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's see if we can figure out who this is. Here we go. Wow.
All right, Preston, play it again. Look at my miming and see if it matters.
All right, hang on a second. Here we go.
Doing a speed bag.
Steve's doing a speed bag mime. Sean, who do you think that might be?
Well, it's something that no human could make, so it's
got to
be Nick.
No. I knew who you were going with when you let in with that, but no, it is not Nick, believe it or not. Thank you anyway, Sean. We appreciate it. Let's go to Frank. Hi, Frank.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, Frank. All right, I'll play it one more time. Here we go. All right, who might that be?
That's got to be Casey.
You got it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Hang on a second. All right, and here's the full clip of Casey.
Well, I was just saying they dredge.
I guess at the beginning there, you were flustered.
Yeah. Like, wish I knew that was all. What that was.
Do you
all
remember
about?
In the early days when you were thinking about getting on radio or being a broadcaster of any kind? You thought, Jesus, I can't speak without making mistakes like that.
Oh, my God.
And we just don't care.
And then we found each other.
Yeah, right?
And then we realized.
We found this show.
We found each other. It was meant to be.
We are basically, Casey, the Suicide Squad of radio.
Yeah.
Isn't it true? Isn't it remarkable when you hear polished shows?
Oh, yeah.
Where they don't make mistakes?
Do you know who's quite good at it? Of not really messing up at all? You know, is Sarah.
I was going to say
that. I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, yeah.
She is. She's so
she doesn't
professional.
Make mistakes. I had was watching a local TED Talk that a friend of mine I went to high school with did, and she nailed it.
Yeah.
Not one flub, not one skip, and seeming to not use a teleprompter either. And it was 15 minutes, and I'm like, I've been doing this every day for 30 years plus. And there's no way I could do that.
Guys, my outgoing voicemail doesn't even have a flub in it.
It doesn't?
No. It's like, hey, this is Casey.
You mean it doesn't have a flub in it?
Yeah. That's what I meant to say.
I wondered if he was bragging. Guys, my outgoing message has no mistakes.
I thought that, me too.
For 10 seconds, I say something without a mistake.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love you guys. I love you guys so much.
You even missed that.
I know. I love you guys.
I love you guys.
I love you.
All right. Well, anyhow, thanks for playing. It was a fun game.
Yay! It was good. Well, Marissa
Mendez. I want some mistakes from you next time. All right, Marissa. We are going to take a break. We're going to come back in a second. I still got some bizarre file stories that are awaiting your approval. We'll get to them in a moment.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals.
Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I think that we should delve into the world of food, if you don't mind. I know
really?
I didn't tell
we
you
have
ahead of
to,
time, but
these stories are just piling up. We got to get to them.
Yep. So there's a lot of stories that have to do with grub.
It's time for the connoisseur. If you're going to enjoy, sit down and mind ya.
You know what I've realized is that I don't know how to spell the word connoisseur.
And oh, so me neither.
It's a bitch.
Whenever I jot down a note that, you know, I have connoisseur stories. I just spell it.
Let me try. C-O-N-N-E-S-I-U.
Well, go ahead. I have no idea. I don't know how to spell it. Nick would have to tell us.
C-O-N-N-O-I-S-S-E-U-R.
Okay, so I wrote C-O-N-N-E-S-E-U-R. Connoisseur.
Connoisseur.
So C-O-N-N-I?
No, O-I.
O-I.
S-S-E-U-R.
Conwasser. Conwasser.
It's like the Schuylkill. Anytime I have to spell that, I just put 76.
Me too. I do the same thing. Or the expressway.
Yeah.
Because I just never have taken the time and forget it. So, all right. Anyhow, none of us know, except Nick, know how to spell connoisseur. On another connoisseur story, and this has to do with the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. They do it at Coney Island on 4th of July.
Yes.
And
it's a legendary event.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
It's been going on. Dude, it started. I'll give you the... how it all began here in just a second.
But I suggest we hold a hot dog eating contest to recognize the 4th of July.
the first recorded contest was 1972, but the first ever unofficial contest was 1916.
Wow.
And this is according to their website. It was when four immigrants gathered at the very first Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Stand in Coney Island and made eating contest history. They said, as the story goes, they were competing to see who was the most patriotic. So how did they determine the winner? With a hot dog eating contest.
Really?
Yes. And so that's what they did. They did it there. By the way, a Coney Island hot dog. The what's on that? Is it a chili dog?
Having a classic Nathan's, I always had it the way I always eat it, which is just with mustard. I'm not a big here's the breakdown, Preston.
Bun topped with a savory meat sauce and sometimes other toppings, often referred to as part of a menu of classic American diner dishes when offered at Coney Island restaurants.
I couldn't suck a lot of those. I mean, if that's what they're eating for the eating contest, I always thought it's kind of just a regular hot dog and a roll.
It is, Steve, for the Nathan's.
Yeah.
It's just the dog and bun.
That's right, because you would die if you ate that.
But sometimes on menus, you'll see a Coney Island.
So okay, yeah.
That's what that is.
So the part that grosses me out the most about this hot dog eating contest is not the excess, it's not the gluttony of it all. It's when they dip the bun in water.
Well, that's how they were able to eat. That was a revolutionary technique. And I don't know if Joey Chestnut came up with that idea or not, or if it was...
who's the Japanese competitor?
Yeah, Nick, we had him by
Kobayashi.
Apparently that changed things. Once they started doing that, it was like, whoa.
The real revelation when we talked to him is that you thought, okay, so leading up to this, you have to... starve yourself. No, I think he actually skipped up his eating to stretch out the stomach.
Okay.
How many hot dogs do you think he could eat?
100.
In one sitting?
One sitting. No.
With no time limit? I mean, just like for dinner or whatever?
I used to eat two hot dogs.
An hour?
An hour?
Something like
I'll
that.
Give me an hour.
How many hot dogs? Not that
many. No.
Yeah. You know, I two.
Two.
One is not quite enough. 2, and I feel a little stuffed, actually.
So I used to get the 7-Eleven hot dogs all the time for dinner, the all beef, you know, because they're really good.
Yeah.
And it would be the 2, just 2 would get it done. And
those
and
are big ones, too. Those are like quarter pound hot dogs, right? You're just getting the regular.
I get the regular. Okay. Yeah. But they're really good.
Can we agree that a hot dog always tastes best at the ballpark?
Yes. Except on Dollar Dog Night.
Why?
Because they sell too many and they're not cooked enough.
Oh.
An issue.
There is. But I went to Dollar Dog Night one time expecting
I'll never forget it.
Well, I was expecting to eat 9 hot dogs. That was like the goal was a hot
dog.
Tonight
I'm going to eat 9 hot dogs. I hope everything goes well.
Not just a hot dog, but any like a beer and a dog for each inning, which you would just be plastered.
Casey, wouldn't you vomit after 9?
Yeah, you can't eat 9 hot dogs.
9 hot dogs.
One per inning?
During the course of a game. I couldn't do it. I thought I could. And then I was like super disappointed in 2 things. A, I barely got through 4 innings. And B, the hot dogs.
You ran over a kid.
They couldn't. The turnover was too, you know, because everybody's there for Dollar Dog Night. And the dogs were like lukewarm. And I can't do that. I got you.
Yeah, I got you. We used to use raw hot dogs for like fishing bait when I was a kid.
Yeah,
sit there and gnaw on a raw hot dog. Sounds disgusting to you, right?
I do know. I used to do it when I was a kid.
They're cooked. They're just cold.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I'm
sorry to interrupt. We got a text. This is about our moose?
I believe so.
Okay, so Connor, also known as Moose.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It says here, can eat 9 at Dollar Dog Night.
What? Well, get him on in here.
No way.
I want to see if that's...
Connor, get in here. Wait, where's Moose?
He's in the other
room. Why don't you forget the moose?
Here he comes.
For a moment.
We can't.
Yeah, I could see him doing it. He's a...
Really?
He's a hearty fellow.
Yeah. All right. That's a lot.
You can do 9?
Yeah. I've done it before.
Have you done it more than once?
Last year.
Okay.
And how long, Connor?
I was going to do 1 an inning, and then I was hungry, so I had like 3 in the first.
Three?
I didn't eat all day because it was Dollar Dog Night. So.
Okay. Oh, so you save up.
Yeah, you save up and eat. And then they were scoring a lot. I was like, I'll just do 1 for every run. And then it hit a grand slam, and I was like, oh, crap. just keep going.
So quick question. Any toppings or just mustard?
Just plain.
Okay, just plain. Nothing.
Yeah, you can't when it's Dollar Dog Night. You just gotta eat them.
You can do mustard.
I mean, when you're going for 9 an inning.
Yeah.
9 a game. Oh, so
how did you pace it out eventually? Was it 3 in the beginning?
There was no pacing. Okay, it was just go.
So, but 3 at the beginning and then 1 per inning starting in the fourth?
No, it was 1 per run.
Okay.
Do you think you could do, besides, is it just particular hot dogs in particular, or could you?
I'm not like some
massive eating guy.
Yeah, no.
Okay, all right.
Were you pretty stuffed after 9?
Oh, I was like barely can move.
Okay, so it got uncomfortable.
Did you crap a Shetland pony?
Yeah, probably.
Did you drink anything?
Water.
Okay. Okay.
Water's the key because,
and if I have to add sugar, it goes sugar, then cream, then the coffee, and because the coffee will stir it for me.
So, as a Dunkin' veteran, Dunkin' Donuts at the time when I joined the company,
yes.
I am a career donut man. that was the thing. All the girls working the counter, the cream or milk and everything would go in first, and then the coffee got poured in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does save you stirring.
So mix it, stirring.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Like, save some effort.
Well, effort, and then you don't have to clean a spoon if you're doing it at home.
Throw away a stirrer.
Right.
Poor stirrer.
I multi-use my stirrers
at home. You reduce, reuse, and recycle?
I do.
Okay.
And they're wooden, too. I bought like 1,000 of them. And then we had to buy them in a pack of 1,000.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. It's 1,000 stirrers. And I'm like, well, I know what I'm doing for the next 5 years.
I ordered brown sugar packets on Amazon.
Yeah.
3 years ago. And I'm still using them.
We also have a giant bag of straws, too.
Okay.
Individually wrapped straws.
All right.
And they're like, it's like this big. There's got to be 500 straws in there. And I use them from time to time. But,
you still got them. You got a supply.
All right. Well, that's interesting. Those tips are from Food & Wine magazine.
Yeah.
And they came from a surprising...
Lady connoisseur.
Yeah, the lady connoisseur jumped in on this. All right, so
you can do one more connoisseur story.
Let's do it, man. A little bit more. Denny's is bringing back its beloved value menu for a limited time. They have a $2, $4, $6, and $8 value menu That's big. It's back in honor of its 10-year anniversary.
Am I correct in remembering the times that I've eaten at Denny's that the food is pretty good?
Yeah, I always liked Denny's was always a good go-to specifically for breakfast.
Yeah.
Place for me. They have since
they have good burgers too.
Disappeared from anywhere.
Is that
where
one,
I go?
Preston, is there still that one that used to be a Denny's by the Y1? It's gone.
No, it became a diner. Yep. I don't know the name of the diner.
Is that hotel still there? The McIntosh?
Yeah, I mean the building's still there. I don't know what it is.
The only Denny's that I know of is kind of down by the airport.
Now, there's one in Springfield on Baltimore Pike across from where the bazaar used to be.
Okay. There you go. There's a very Delco location description where it used to be.
I could have said across the street from the Home Depot and Acme, but
Denny's was either a late night buzzed, let's go get something to eat thing, or breakfast at any time of the day. I'd always get biscuits and gravy and whatever the Grand Slam breakfast. You know, if you remember that,
absolutely. My wife's family, Long Island, they all her and two of her sisters worked at Howard Johnson's, which would be called Hojo's, which is very similar to Denny's.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Well, that's why I like the New England style bun so much, Steve. It's a throwback to my childhood. That's how they serve their hot dogs.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay. It looks like most of them are in Jersey, Nick, that are in this vicinity.
The two on the Philly side are the one that Casey described, and then there's one down by Tinicum.
Huh.
But yeah, there was one on 252 by the Valley Forge Music Fair that we used to go to all the time for the same thing, Preston. It'd be, 2 a.m. Denny's run and get the sundae or breakfast or both.
This area is generally more diner territory.
Yeah.
You're loads of diners, and I think that has kind of, Denny's doesn't have a foothold.
And they're good diners.
Yeah.
So it's
the
same thing up in New York. You know, we always had classic, and then if you had the Greek diner, you'd have, 15-pound hamburgers and all that stuff.
And I guess maybe that's part of the reason why we don't see many Waffle House around as well, because there's so many diners.
Yeah.
Wouldn't fit right in. Although there is one, I know I've said it before, towards Bethlehem. I'm not sure exactly where
Jesus was.
Out that way. I think his first job was at
Waffle House.
Was at Waffle House.
Bus boy.
Yeah.
You're going to have to put that hair in a net.
Their value menu's coming back. $2, $4, $6, $8. I don't know what is on the value menu. It says
it's just the prices. There are no menus.
The dollar options. the menu features offers at different price points in both sweet and savory options.
So, wow.
All right. I think we should take a break.
Yes.
Because we're going to come back and we're going to get into some. And thank you, Kathy, for your contributions.
That was great. Yes.
Sure.
Lady Miss Connoisseur.
Jump in anytime, okay? We will come back in a moment. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
You guys probably saw this story, but there's a follow-up to it. A San Diego woman who was denied service at a Starbucks for refusing to wear a mask says that she's received death threats after publicly shaming the barista who refused her on social media. So it backfired on her because a GoFundMe page ended up establishing on behalf of the barista about $25,000 in 4 days. So she was posting this to kind of shame the guy.
Yeah.
And it backfired on her and people started donating all this money to this guy.
As you go into Starbucks, it's posted. It's a policy.
So don't
go in if you don't want to wear the mask.
She said, I never threatened him. I just called him out on his actions. I never threatened him, and I've received death threats. Thousands. It's very upsetting. It's very scary, she said. This is Amber Lynn Giles. Shortly after being refused service, she posted a photograph of the barista, Lennon Gutierrez, on her Facebook page, and it read, meet Lennon from Starbucks, who refused to serve me because I'm not wearing a mask. Next time, I will wait for cops and bring a medical exemption. Face coverings are mandatory inside businesses in San Diego. in the county, and public health officials said businesses have the right to refuse service to anyone not complying with the public health order.
So she did a crappy thing by exposing, doing that to him, and it's kind of a dumb thing to do death threats on her, but it's, you know.
And she hasn't said anything about any medical condition. So she has, Giles has three children, considers herself an anti-vaxxer. She said the face masks are ineffective. She said it starts with coffee, but it ends with digital certificates and forced vaccinations.
It's not this kid's problem, though, the barista.
And that's not going to happen anyway. Yeah. Giles also claimed she purchased coffee 2 days earlier at the Starbucks without wearing a mask. I never threatened him, and she goes on to say. But now she says after he got the money, she says that she is entitled to some of that money.
Try to get it.
That's been the latest. So
it ain't going to happen.
She wants some of the money. She is threatening to sue the page creator of the GoFundMe page for defamation and slander. So we'll see where that goes. The United Nations says that it is shocked and deeply disturbed by footage of an apparent sex act in one of its official cars in Israel.
What?
The clip shows a woman in a red dress straddling a man in the back seat of a white 4x4 with UN markings on it. The video, shared widely on social media, was apparently filmed on a main street by Tel Aviv's seafront.
Is it UN or UN?
No, UN. But I understand. The UN said that it was investigating the incident and was close to identifying the individuals seen in the video. Those involved are believed to be staff members of a peacekeeping organization in Israel. They're just keeping the peace.
Man.
And
one piece at a time.
Yep. Another passenger can be seen slumped in the front, but the driver can't be seen as the car moves away. The spokesman for the UN secretary said that kind of behavior goes against everything we stand for and having been working to achieve in terms of fighting misconduct by UN staff.
Handies are safer.
They have strict policies against sexual misconduct by the staff members. The staff may be disciplined if they are found to be in breach of conduct rules. A $300,000 Lamborghini Huracan Performante Spider, I guess it's performance spider, was wrecked on a UK highway 20 minutes after its new owner left the dealership. And when I initially saw the story and I saw the pictures, I'm like, okay, they got this new Lamborghini and they floored it.
You've driven.
Yes.
Yeah. So there was a place that lent us cars for a while. You had that for a day. You had a Lamborghini and I had a Maserati.
Yep.
And for one day.
It's pretty awesome.
It's awesome, but it's a monster.
But this was the deal. It broke down and it was rear-ended by a van.
Oh my God. So it wasn't that.
It wasn't that.
The
poor
bastard.
It was just outside of Leeds. It happened this weekend. Photos show the right rear-end quarter of the mid-engine two-seater entirely crushed and the twin posts of the rollover protection system deployed.
So, by the way, they just bought it and it broke down?
Yeah. So I don't know what the deal was. So I didn't know this, Steve. It said the twin post of the rollover protection system. I've never heard of that before. See those two things sticking up in the top?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So those must pop up in case the vehicle rolls over you don't get crushed.
That's pretty cool.
It's because it's a convertible.
And all it took was almost a complete decimation of the car to realize that happens.
only the van driver suffered minor head injuries. Of course, the Huracan is powered by a 630-powered V10, has a top speed of 202 miles an hour. But it was a van rear-ending it that destroyed this one. Zookeepers may have been foiled by a troop of menacing monkeys who made a successful jailbreak in the dead of night.
Here we go again.
The 70-strong gang of primates made a break for freedom from their home near Tokyo, marking their second escape in less than a year. Cut marks seem to indicate someone had either slashed or one of the monkeys had gnawed through metal fencing before encouraging the entire pack to follow in an audacious bid for freedom.
Blip, blip. Hand me the wire cutters.
The alarm was raised by a construction worker at Takagoyama Zoo who spotted a hole in a fence during the 7 a.m. morning inspection and went to investigate. At first, the zoo's operator thought the large cage had been broken into, and the matter was reported to the police. Yet the reason for the great escape is still to be determined.
Oh, yeah, we're going to find out soon.
The large hole looked as though it had been cut with a knife. May have also been the handiwork of the macaques spotted running around the rooftops. The fugitive monkeys were also spotted soaking up the views in the mountains surrounding the zoo.
Clip the green wire.
The local authorities had to issue a warning to residents not to approach the furry escape artist with box traps with food deployed to try and lure them back.
By the way, they have very sharp teeth.
The macaques have also been spotted coming down from their hiding places to pester zookeepers for snacks. For the time being, it's a case of softly catch the monkey, with keepers putting sweet potatoes, soybeans, and other tasty delights inside the cage to get them used to eating in the enclosure again before locking the door.
It's a beautiful song, Softly Catch the Monkey.
Yes. It is...
Softly... Softly catch the monkey.
It's not known how many monkeys have managed to escape for good.
I heard he sang a good song.
But we're seeing this all around the world, Steve.
The monkeys are uniting.
Yep.
They're becoming smarter. They're extricating themselves from zoos. And they are working as a team. In fact, you reported on a story. I think it was the last time you reported this story, they had commandeered a theater which was serving as their base of operations.
It's in India. It's their headquarters.
Yes.
Yeah, so,
it is happening.
So they're organizing, and I wouldn't doubt it in 2020 that that is indeed the case.
Well, we need to talk to Michael Giacchino because he scored all those movies, and if anyone has any insight into the plans of these monkeys,
he probably
it'd
would
be the
not.
Guy who composed the music.
You know, maybe what, maybe that's a reason to give him a call.
It's the monkey heist, Preston.
Oh, my God.
Started watching Monkey Heist last night.
We have a new graphic for Monkey Heist.
We do?
Who did that? Who's that guy? He's super talented. He does a whole bunch of graphic stuff for the show.
Is it the same guy that did the Just Saying Institute?
Yes, yes.
Michael Saborin?
Michael Saborin, that's it.
Okay. Is he the one that also did the Space Cowboy?
He did Space Cowboy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's outstanding. All right, and that's it for the Bizarre File. We're going to take a break, come back in a second. We got some music news, some trash, and lesson, and so on. So we'll get to that when we return. Stay with us.
Grab the free MMR app for your phone. You can stream us live, get on-demand audio and video, and we can even send you alerts on really important stuff. Plus, it's Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible. The MMR app, making your smartphone a little dumber.
Preston, may I ask you to take a gander out the window there?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. What the
That's
hell?
Good.
What the hell?
No, that's Casey. I thought it was just a dude working out there.
Okay, got a helmet on.
Hang on. Let me explain. We have construction going on in our building, and it happens to be outside of our window here that these guys are out on scaffolding. And Casey's out there. He's outside of the studio. And I just looked over and I saw a guy's bare ass up by the window. And apparently that's Casey. And he's calling the hotline right now.
Hang on a second. I love that the other construction worker out there is really not phased at all.
He's going about his business. Thea, what the hell are you doing?
Oh, I don't know. I was presented an opportunity to be on the other side of the glass, and I just jumped on it. Sorry. I'm mooning you, and then it gave you the finger, and you flipped me off before you realized who I was.
Well, you were flipping me off.
I know. You're like, I'm just going to give this guy the finger pack. Yeah. And you're like, oh, my God, that's Casey.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, hi, guys.
do we get a picture of the actual mooning? Because it was amazing, especially with the skyline behind you.
No, we missed it.
Oh, damn it.
We can recreate it. I'm sure Casey doesn't mind dropping his pants again. Case?
Yeah, I don't know how to mime. Is that what you were saying?
You know what's great on the radio?
No, we had nothing to do with miming. I was wondering if you could drop your pants again because we missed that. We didn't get a picture of it.
Oh, so, there we go.
All right, so
miming on the radio.
Would Casey mind, I think, is what you said, not mime. Oh.
My mind, it's the same thing.
He started doing the fake pane of glass thing.
Is that what he thought I said?
I guess
that's
so.
Adorable.
Uh-huh.
This other worker, I just love it. Casey mooned us again. He looked at him and, like, he didn't crack a smile, nothing.
The first time, Kev, when I did it, you were still doing your traffic. He was the only one who saw me. And you just hear him go, are you serious?
Yeah. Casey, is it cold out there at all, or is it protected by the glass at this point?
I'm totally fine, yeah. No, we're completely enclosed in glass. So the outer glass is it's cut off from the elements outside.
Okay. Yeah, so they have this atrium that they're adding to the building here. Ask this construction worker what his name is.
Oh, man, I don't want to do this.
Hey, what's your name, by the way?
Robert.
That's Robert over here, guys.
Hey, Robert. We've been looking at Robert's ass for the better part of the morning, so yeah.
Like, hey, guys, I hate you.
I'm trying to do my goddamn job.
Seriously.
Okay, how did you get out there, by the way?
So you got to go down the third floor. Well, first I had to sign a giant waiver, and then I put a hard hat on, and then I went down to the third floor. I walked out. I had to climb up a ladder.
Yeah. Ooh.
Really cool. Yeah.
I've been wanting to do this stuff for a while.
Hey, let me ask you this. Is the fart earlier, was that you about to go out onto the scaffolding? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
So,
Casey was faking a bathroom emergency, and he came back and said it was fart. I was like, I thought that was a little odd.
No, because if it's Casey, you would have figured he would have crapped his pants.
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah, so I thought I was going to be out there earlier, but what I actually had to do was go through all of, like, the legal stuff of signing my life away. But I, at that point, I thought I was coming outside, but I wasn't. So
This kind of stuff, construction, when you see this, you just want, I think it's cool. Like, that's why we talked about, like, Diggerland or whatever it is. Anything with the equipment and cranes and stuff like that. Look at you. You make a good construction worker. You look good in your hard hat and everything. The way you moon.
Right? I think you look like the foreman. You know, like
really?
You look like the guy in charge of everybody out there.
Are you sure I don't look like a fiveman? That's a fat joke, guys.
A fat joke?
Yeah.
All right,
well, get on in here.
All right, come on back out.
All right. Bye-bye.
Guys. All right, we'll have video pictures to post of that later on. I thought it was a... A guy who works here that maybe was a listener and decided to show us his butthole. But no, it was Casey.
Damn the luck.
Outside, mooning us as we were getting ready. And I had a really good segue, too.
Oh, sucks, damn
man.
It.
Stop.
Can you reclaim it?
So Joe Montana is going to be on the show later on this morning. And a texter said, Joe Montana, the quarterback for the 49ers, name the movie. The Waterboy. That was the movie, right? Hey, speaking of sports.
That was your
story. Believe it or not, I think these things up before we actually go to them, and that was fun.
It still works.
Speaking of sports.
Still works.
There was a Sixers game last night.
It was.
Yes. And apparently during the game, Joel Embiid had a nasty injury that didn't keep him out of the game. Unbelievable. Yeah. He had his finger was dislocated.
He thought that he broke it. So he went into the locker room. They did x-rays real quickly and then realized it was not broken. Popped it back in and brought him back into the game.
Why is it still hanging then?
If you've not seen the picture. No, this is before. This is when he was getting ready to be taken off or off the court. And it's not hanging. It's like 90 degrees sideways.
Oh, God,
at that main knuckle. Number one, looking at that gives me the heebie-jeebies in a big way. It's like immediately I want to look the other way.
It is definitely alarming to see that because that's not usually the way a finger should bend. But the question that also prompts, Preston, is what exactly would constitute an injury then that would keep you out of the game when your finger is going in the completely wrong direction and he goes back in?
Well, I guess they pop it back in and nothing was torn.
Right. Or broken,
then it's just a strain.
Jesus.
But what's the movie? The Rock movie, Central Intelligence. There's a part where they're torturing him and they snap his finger sideways like that. And I can't look at that. It drives me crazy. And by the way, playing basketball, just horsing around or whatever, you show people.
I wouldn't, it would happen accidentally while playing sports.
Oh, and then you go, hey, look at this.
Yeah, and I'd be like, and people would just almost want to pass out
because
it looks so foul.
Listen, people do get completely woozy on that. My question is with the pinky finger injury, you know, and I, you know, my incredible dodgeball injury.
Yeah.
So what's the protocol? Will they put a pinky in a splint or what will they?
No, maybe. I mean you can. They can, if it's broken, they can cast it up.
Okay.
Really?
I mean, listen, I broke my knuckle, my middle knuckle I broke, and they casted that up.
Okay. Wow. I didn't know what, at what point, because I know with, like, the pinky toe.
Right.
They don't,
I've always
just, you wear like a boot or something. What
taped
happened?
Taped it together.
Tape it?
You know, something like that.
I've never broken any digits. So I don't know.
I don't know what this bone is called, but the basically the pinky hand bone.
Yeah.
I broke that as well, and they had to cast it up.
Are you talking about the, yeah, like the
edge of your hand?
Like
edge.
If you were doing hammer punches, that, yeah,
that
bone.
Edge. You broke that?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're talking about karate.
Well, I had a close.
That's right, man.
Only two people, guys, people know karate.
Let me go to one more quick call, then we got to take a break. I will go to Kate. This sounds pretty wild. Hi, Kate. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. First time caller. What's up, bitches?
Another one. Not much, bitch. What's up? All right, what do you want to tell us?
I actually have a pretty interesting story, and it's happened three times. My jaw actually comes unhinged.
Oh.
So
like a snake?
I can't. Yes, exactly. Exactly. So I can't close my jaw at all. And it's happened three times. The first time I was 16. Second time I was in my mid-20s. I'm in my mid-40s. And it happened again last year. And it happens just from yawning.
Oh. So is that what lockjaw is? Is that lockjaw?
It's not lockjaw. It's lockjaw is some type of disease. It's actually my jaw becomes unhinged.
All right.
So it dislocates, and I have to go to the hospital, and they have to pop it back in.
So with that, when it's dislocated, is your mouth wide open?
Oh, yeah.
So in high school, that would make you very popular, right?
So you can't close it. So you got to get to the hospital quick then.
Yeah, the last time it happened, I was sitting at work, and I yawned, and it was locked open, and I had to drive myself to the hospital.
And are you literally going to people, are you talking like that?
Yeah, the last time I had to take a post-it note with me and explain when I walked in the emergency room.
That's wild.
Sucks.
So that's, yeah. I think the image I have is of like Jacob Marley in A Christmas Carol with his jaw hanging open, you know? So you have that and you can't, if you try to close it, it will not close. The mechanism is not there to close it at all.
No, not at all.
And what's the pain level like?
Oh my God, it's excruciating.
Oh my God.
And it gets worse. The longer that it is unhinged. So the last time that I was in the hospital, they couldn't get it back into place. So they had to give me ketamine.
Oh.
And my husband was there sitting next to me watching the whole thing.
All right. So when they're resetting it, what do they do? Somebody just manipulating it with their hands? They use a foot underneath your chin? What?
How do you do a hammer?
They actually, the doctor wraps their thumbs in gauze.
Oh, my God.
And then they get on top of me. This is what I've been told. And they straddle you, and then they have to pop it back in.
Oh, my God.
Oh, so they're reaching their hand inside your mouth.
And pulling the jaw.
Oh, dear God.
Yes.
Holy F.
So thumbs going into your mouth. I see. Okay. So
yeah.
They're almost like they're getting like in 69 position over you. And they've got and they have to reach their thumbs into your mouth. And that's insane, Kate.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And apparently the last time it happened, the doctor was straddling me. And apparently I tried to put my hand up his shirt, hitting on him.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
And I don't know.
You're a piece of ass.
I just said the mood hit me.
So, yeah. Kate, while your mouth is open in this, and I don't know if you're able to recollect this, but is drool pouring out?
And
no, it's actually the opposite. It gets so dry.
Okay.
Where you can't swallow it anymore. So that's when it becomes a little scary because it gets so dry.
Jaw issues with people have caused, like, for example, I remember, I don't know if this is true or not, but I remember this being the allegation or the thought. Burt Reynolds lost a tremendous amount of weight years ago. And obviously he's dead. Now he's losing weight like crazy. But he had jaw issues. That were sort of very pernicious and that led to him not being able to eat and chew food properly. So do you have issues like that with chewing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's certain, like, I'm not supposed to chew gum. I'm not supposed to chew, like, a bagel or anything chewy, you know, candy, that type of thing.
Wow.
Because it will happen again.
Do you resist the urge to yawn when it comes on?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, listen, there are obviously far worse things, but that's annoying.
Yeah, I mean, you can yawn. You don't have to have your mouth totally agape to yawn.
Right.
Sometimes, right. though, it just comes over you quickly, and you're, you know, yeah. you don't
do it.
And it's actually one of the great joys in life is a good yawn.
All right. Hey, that's wild. Thanks for sharing. We appreciate it.
Sure. Have a good day.
All right, you too.
Have you seen Brightburn yet, Preston?
No, I got to see it.
There's a jaw scene in that will have you
laughing
out loud.
Is it akin to Upgrade when they...
Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. Oh. And even worse.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine worse than that. All right, interesting. Well, thanks for sharing. And if this type of thing skeeves you out, avoid the pictures of Joel Embiid with his funky finger. It's pretty messed up. We got to take a break. Be right back.
Get what you want when you want it. MMR on demand. Preston and Steve's Daily Rush, Sarah's Rock Breakdown, MMR Podcasts, the latest videos and interviews with your fave artists, and lots more. Click the On Demand tab at WMMR.com.
I would like to share this story real quickly with you. So during our time, after much discussion, we decided to take a quick road trip. By quick, I mean it was only a couple of days, and we didn't stick around too long. We went to visit my dad in Kentucky.
Which you were supposed to visit your family prior to all of this and finally got around to doing it.
Yeah, and once we realized that, medically, we're all okay. Yeah. We've been very, very careful, specifically over the past couple of weeks in anticipation of taking a road trip. Just get the kids out of the house for a little bit and go somewhere else and a little change of scenery. So we're very, very safe about it. So me and my three kids left. My wife stayed at home. She watched the dogs. First time ever, by the way, since we've had kids. It usually worked the other way. I would stay home. She would go because I'd be working. So it was the first time we ever did something like that. So we're looking forward to a road trip.
Yay!
Dad.
Yeah.
And a few weeks ago, our van, which we don't use as much as we do anymore, but we're driving around and I'm like, I think the AC conked out on us. So we went and got it looked at, and sure enough, yes, we needed a whole new system. So we got a whole brand new, very expensive, the system put in because it was, we're after the warranty now. We've had this thing for several years.
Yeah. Car AC or van AC systems, any system like that in a vehicle, expensive.
Yeah, so we got that replaced. We get on the road, we're driving, and you're driving along. So we're driving, and it's a 9-hour drive, and about an hour into the drive, the air conditioning cut out on.
No!
Yes.
Dude!
The air conditioning, you haven't heard this? The air conditioning stopped working.
It was, and by the way, super hot, and you were heading into the south.
Yeah.
Super hot. I have to make down south.
I have to make a decision. So we've decided to make this trip. It's been in the books for a while.
There was some preparation.
We were very careful about our interaction with other people because we're going to meet my elderly father and his wife.
You have to take the precautions.
You got to take the precautions. So the plans have all been made, and I'm like, I'm going, oh my God, the air conditioning just stopped working on the car. We just got this fixed. How can this be happening? And then I have to decide, as we are now on the Pennsylvania Turnpike.
Right.
Do we keep going or do we turn around?
It's only 8 more hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. And how far from
about
your
an
drive?
Hour. Okay. About an hour. Not that far into it. But I'm weighing, are we ever going to be able to make this trip again?
Yes.
By the time we get this back and get this, it's not like we're going to be a turnaround. Hey, we'll delay it by a day.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to take the van. There's 4 of us. We're all adult size. We don't want to cram into a car.
Did you put it to a vote?
You don't need to. You're the dad.
You
override everything. That is a complete plutocracy at that case.
So we decided to go ahead and go and drive the whole way. Kathy, it was 95 degrees. 95 degrees that it got up to. No air conditioning. So, Steve, it was a trip of nostalgia. Remember the 1970s?
Oh, I remember. I remember, of course, honestly, I remember all my original cars had no AC. That was a laughable concept. Yeah, and when you did get AC, it was spotty at best. And so you had to get up to a certain velocity to have that warm fart air blow on you.
So it was. So we rolled all the windows down.
Right.
In the van.
Super loud.
On the highway.
Yeah.
Where we're doing 80 miles an hour because that's how fast everybody goes on the highway.
Yeah.
It is insanely loud.
Oh,
with all the windows down.
Yes.
So what we had planned on of listening to music and watching some movies.
I put some books on together. Some Audible books and some time to really talk to my kids.
So we're yelling at each other anytime we had to communicate in the van.
There's a boy I really like, Daddy! Tell me about him!
Oh, my God.
So you did have a little video of you singing in the car.
I sent you guys a video. That was before the AC blew.
It had to be.
Like
you guys were having the best time. Let it go!
We were singing Frozen.
Oh, this is great. We're going to have the best.
It's so cold in here.
It's so fun.
I'm so glad we got this AC fixed. We're freezing. Hey, kids, let's sing Frozen.
It started off so well.
Oh, we love each other. Road trip.
Yeah.
Oh, my
bonding.
God.
We're going to bond.
Oh, we hated each other the whole way.
Oh, my. It is. It's so loud. Why when you have to put the windows down. And when you at that heat, like at that temperature, when the windows are down, it's not like it's not helpful, really.
So we're driving through West Virginia, which is mountainous and windy and
hot.
It's beautiful and it hell beautiful. On earth at the same time.
Oh, my God.
And Preston, I remember I was stuck in the Holland Tunnel. No, the Lincoln Tunnel during a heat wave trying to get out of the city. For about 4 hours, there was a breakdown. I was in the tunnel with the cars running and the heat and the exhaust, and I prayed. I said, God, please kill me. I don't have the courage to do it now, but kill me.
You know what? I know we've talked about this before because I had my friend Jim, who I was in a band with, and we were practicing at his house. His parents refused to use their air conditioning.
No.
Refused to use it unless it was well into the 90s, and that's just the way they lived. They were open window people. That was it. Do people do that with their cars? Are there some people that are under the notion that they're saving on gas money by not using the air conditioning?
I've been
still
with
to this day, really?
I've been with, and you have to honor the driver's perception that they're saving, whatever the deal is. I believe, and we've talked this back and forth, and there's different schools of thought, and I don't know what I believe or don't believe. All I know is I don't want to sweat my balls off, so I put the AC on. But there's a notion also that if you have the windows open, you're causing drag on the car, which is... But enough of that nonsense!
Yeah.
Put it the hell on!
I'm curious if there are people that still do that, and if they've seen a difference in that.
So did you get it fixed while you were there to have it on the ride home?
So we called our dealership where they had put this new unit in, said we weren't, you know.
Hey, we're sorry about that.
Yeah, that we're not happy about this and that I was committed to this trip. We weren't gonna you know, change our plans. And they said, maybe there is my wife asked, is there a dealership in Lexington that maybe you can get in touch with? They're going to be there for a couple days. We could take it in. They could fix it and have it. And they just said no.
Cool,
they just said no.
Oh,
that's
wow.
customer service.
Yeah, we didn't get much of an apology. We didn't get much of a sorry for the inconvenience.
I think a refund is due.
No. In fact,
how long ago did you get it fixed?
Less than a month.
No, give me their phone number.
And they said that so we got it. We went and got it fixed, and there was another issue that had caused the problem with this one. It wasn't unit. It was something else that fried it out. So it cost us another $200 to get that fixed.
Oh, dude.
Wait, did you get it fixed down there, did you say?
No, I didn't.
So you drove home with no AC, too?
Yes.
You didn't even go and have it like a diagnostic check at, like, you know...
Dude, we were just so tired.
Honestly, at that point, what do you want to become a half-ass mechanic on your own?
I would. I mean, honestly, if I were in Kentucky and I had a 9-hour trip ahead of me, I would have taken it to a garage. Two things I would have done differently. I would have turned the hell around, got a car with air conditioning, and if I didn't, you know, if I got outvoted for that one, I would have at some point in Kentucky gone.
I understand the mindset, though, of being that far into the trip. And it's also you've gone to this extent to make sure you're safely visiting your father and your family.
Yeah.
And you're like, if we turn around now, we might never leave again.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, what if you get there and they say this vehicle, you better to not know it's going to explode into flames 4 hours into the trip and just try to go for it.
Yeah. So, no, I didn't have time today. I mean, we were there to spend some time with him. My dad wanted me to show me where my ancestors are buried. So that was a...
Yeah.
So, anyway, we had to drive around the the ass crack of the world to go and find that, by the way. But anyhow, that's another story.
This is where I killed your grandmother. This is where I beat your grandfather to death.
Jeez. But it was just, it was miserable.
Oh,
I mean, we had a good time, you know, because once we got there and we got indoors, we're like, oh, thank God.
Well, at least you could
air conditioning.
You could split the driving between three of you.
That was nice.
Yes.
3 hours.
Even
shifts.
Let Caroline drive.
Yeah.
I don't care.
3 hour shifts. It was nice.
I did a drive from Lewisburg, PA to Key West 1 year for spring break. And we drove in my friend Brian's piece of crap Ford Taurus. And we get to, I don't know, south of like South Carolina or whatever. And we're like, hey, Brian, can we turn on the AC? He's like, sure. He pulls up a fan,
no.
Sticks it on the dashboard, yes. And turns it on. And he's like, enjoy, boys.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hang on. I want to go to Brian real quick here. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Matt Damon.
And to you, sir. What's up, Brian?
Listen, Matt.
Matt Damon!
I caught an episode of Mythbusters that did a test, like a controlled test, and they were talking about whether or not AC lowers your fuel consumption. And they did find out that it does not matter, not one bit. So the guy who's driving the car is not turning on the AC because he thinks he's saving a couple bucks. Is an a-hole.
Okay.
We need to get that word out there.
All right.
You're not doing anything to economize if you put your AC on. And in fact, if it keeps you from passing out due to heat stroke, I consider that a win.
That's right.
Right.
Nice.
All right. What a jerk.
Now, again, I saw a couple textures of people who refused to use their air conditioning in the vehicle. It's there.
No effing way.
Getting a car with working air conditioning and getting a house with central air was, like, very similar for me. Like, when I moved into my house and it had central air and it didn't have the wall units, it was, like, the best thing ever. And it was the same thing with the car. I remember when I got a car, my first car, where the air conditioning actually worked, it was, like, such a relief.
You feel like you're driving a Rolls Royce. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, oh, my God, this is amazing.
Well, it was air conditioning and it was the heat, too. Like, my car that I had, you know, prior to, like, my first new car, it would take, like, by the time I got to where I was going, it's like the car was just warming up or cooling down, you know.
Here's an interesting text. It says, you guys are pussies. Okay. I invite you anytime to come drive around in my black lifted truck with black leather seats with no AC on and screaming mud tires with the windows down.
No, thank you.
So here's the difference. If you have to drive that, that's one thing. But if you are driving that way on person texter, you're a moron. Okay? So there you go. If you have to, yes, I got it. That's your situation. You don't call anybody a pussy because that's what you have to do.
Well, so my dad was a truck driver, and for the longest time he had a Mercedes truck. And before you think, oh, he had a Mercedes. No, that thing, it was just, had the emblem on it, and that was basically it.
They get like half a million miles on them, too. Like, they're really durable. Yeah.
And it had no air conditioning ever. And you talk about, like UPS drivers or those guys, they don't have air.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that's part of the reason why they have to, but often drive with the doors open.
Right.
It saves some time getting in and out, but it creates, Steve, like the fart breeze that you were talking about.
It's just unbelievable. And to do that for that, I remember I told you guys the time my friend Dwayne from Vertex Fitness had to move on. This was during a heat wave in July. We had a Penske truck that he had rented. No AC. The windows didn't even open all the way.
You're a good friend, man.
And, oh, my God. It was it was the hottest I've ever been in my life.
I think of situations like that, and I go, no, I'm a terrible friend. Like, I would never.
I'm out of town.
We were moving gym equipment.
Yeah.
Him, myself. So not just the weights, the machines and the weights on them.
Steve, is that stuff heavy?
Preston, oddly enough, it's goddamn heavy. Both of us nearly died like 9 times during that whole effort.
Here's a text that says, my friend refuses to use the air because he doesn't like the artificialness of it.
Get used to it.
I wanted to shove him out of the car on the turnpike.
I sort of understand that argument a little bit. And here's what I'll say about it. I get tired of going from AC at home to AC in the car to AC at work. It wears on me after a while. However, I will take that over the discomfort of being in the heat all the time.
Hey, and also, who's forced to work without AC? Here's one that says, how do you think mailmen feel?
That's true.
We have no AC.
They don't.
Just a fan that blows hot air. Why would they not have air conditioning?
In those vehicles, because
it's more expensive.
And the doors are
when they're walking most of the time, like they're.
Yeah, well, some of them have mailboxes. And,
yeah. And those vehicles, are those vehicles naturally, do they have AC in them?
Well, you would figure that, you know, now with, the, you know, the space age technology that we have.
It's space age polymers. Yeah,
I mean, back in the day, it was like those Jeeps, right? Yeah. Now they have those really nice trucks.
What about like UPS drivers? They don't, I mean, would an AC be worth a damn when you're getting out of a vehicle?
So.
Out of
and there? Their doors open. I was talking to a construction worker, or a guy who was in the union, and he said that they're doing work in a school, and they can't turn the air conditioning on in the school while they work, so they're inside with no AC
because
of the work that they're doing. It'll get into the ventilation system and all of that, so it has to be turned off.
Well, I mean, so a little asbestos blows around.
Yeah. Do you remember
in grade school we didn't have air conditioning, and so when you would get those hot May days and June days, they would take a fan. And they would stick it in the doorway and blow the air into the hallway.
Yeah.
I don't.
We had.
I don't understand.
It was exhausting. It was taking the hot air out.
It was taking the hot air out.
We basically, it looked like a Boeing test facility in our elementary school. Grace Hill Hubs, I clearly remember it. And we had those huge fans on stands. And the teacher, you talk about having to yell over the sound of.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Nick had seen a text from a UPS driver that says the back of the truck gets 130 or more.
Jeez.
But I guess that's when they're pulling the boxes out. You would think, and you talk about even though the windows are down in a mail truck or whatever, I mean, you still feel if the vent's right on you, you're getting some relief from that. I mean, if it's pointed right at you, even though the windows are down. I know lots of people, me included, sometimes who will have the AC on and the windows down.
You can do that. Yeah. That's actually that's okay. One of the greatest inventions of all time, having the AC pumped through the seat. A little bit of that. Do you know that?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's your ass isn't basically a grilled cheese sandwich every time you get up.
I didn't have air conditioning for the longest time growing up. I mean, I grew up in a 100-and-some-year-old house. We didn't even have window units until much, much, much later on in life. I was in college at that point. When my mom lived there after my dad passed away, I would go over there and she would sit there in the steaming kitchen. And she, you know, the only time she ever used the air conditioner, she had it in her bedroom.
I am the god of hellfire.
Yeah. I can't deal. Kath, you were talking about central air. Like, I don't know how I ever lived without it.
Right? I think a lot of people, Preston, and maybe this is the thing, they think that if they turn it on, they'll get seduced by it and then want to use
Agreed.
It.
Agreed.
Like, no, I'll make myself weaker.
Yeah.
I had that a little bit.
You ought to be able to handle this.
Yeah,
that kind of bad attitude, you know what I mean?
It's the same people who wear shorts throughout the winter.
I get that, but to some extent, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. We've evolved.
Yeah.
We can use these things.
We have new medicines and machines to keep you. Use them. they're sitting there.
Hang on a second. Let me go to Ambrose. Hi, Ambrose. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, bitches. Welcome back.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. What's up?
So, Preston, you'll appreciate this one. So, the car I had in high school was the ugliest gold Pontiac Bonneville you've ever friggin'
seen. I had a Bonneville. I love that car.
The car itself, incredible. Air conditioning, not so much. So, driving around one day, I go through a drive-thru and sitting at the drive-thru waiting to get food, and I see the thermostat temperature just keeps going up, and the car's clunking. So I get home and I ask my dad about it. We get the car checked out. Turns out the thermostat's bad, and it's not turning on the fan. To fix it, it's going to be about $400 or $500. I'm a high school kid. My father could care less about my needs at this point. So the guy at the dealership goes, the best way to fix it is in the summer when it starts to get real hot, you're just going to have to put the heater on and let the heater run for a little bit.
Oh, my God.
To get the temperature down.
Oh my God.
What a treat this was.
Oh, God.
So you did it? You use that technique?
I use that POS for 3 years with the same technique. In summer, 95 degrees with your heater running on your legs and on your body felt fantastic.
Ambrose, here's a story about the Bonneville, and I've relayed this on the air before. I was at an intersection one time. That's how big these cars were. I was rear-ended by a Mack truck, pancaked the trunk of the car. The signals worked, and the car was completely drivable. I drove it home. It was unbelievable.
Oh, they were metal tanks.
Yeah, but that AC in that thing didn't even come close to cooling down the inside of that car. It was a joke.
Yeah. Have a good morning, guys.
Thanks, Ambrose. Appreciate it. I had a Mustang. It was a 72 Mustang. It was kind of there. It was almost like a Mach 1, like a longer version of the Mustang. And I had trouble with the AC. And then sometimes it was really weird because I would look in my rearview mirror and the speakers, Steve, were in the back, near the back window. And every now and then I would see smoke coming out of the speakers.
What was causing that?
I don't know. I don't know.
You were rocking. You were rocking, man.
Smoke would come out of the speakers. I just remember being in the sweltering heat of the summer, having, you know, just rolling the windows down.
Oh, my God.
And just...
I remember Preston in the back of, you remember Hot Rod Magazine?
Sure.
All right, so I got Hot Rod Magazine, and there was a thing I was, again, in one of my long list of crappy cars. And there was a thing that promised this will keep, this is AC. AC without having AC. Oh, I got to go, and then I got to get that. It's about the size of a large harmonica with the fan that spun in it, like your friend. Yes. And that's all it was. I'm like, what? And I bought it, you know, sight unseen, you know, just a little ad in the thing. I mean, it was the size of a harmonica.
I'm going to go to Matt. Hey, Matt, good morning.
Good morning, Gadzooks, fellas.
Gadzooks, what's up, buddy?
Nothing. I'm that guy that wears shorts year-round, and I work outside doing underground sprinklers, and I don't use my air. I just don't need it. I don't, you know, my body acclimates to the temperature so quick and being outside all the time that I go into these cold places and I'm freezing. Mm.
So, Matt, I hear that, and I think a number of people will think that as well, like when I'm outside and I'm working in a very hot condition and your body acclimates, I'm fine with that. But if I'm inside or I'm in the car, now I have to have it. My dad lives in Dallas. If you don't have AC running all the time in your cars or inside you're gonna die quickly. It's just oppressive.
I'm that guy that my wife likes it freezing cold, and I come in and she's under a blanket with Penguin sitting next to her, and I can't stand coming into a house that cold. I need it like 78 degrees.
Well, I would have no trouble sleeping with your wife.
Hey, Matt, by the way, it says here you also don't use your heat in the winter.
No, I'm not a heat person either. Like, my windows are always open in my car in the wintertime and stuff like that.
It's like my dad.
Do you live on a diet of brains? Because you might be dead. It's quite possible. Wow. That's incredible.
I wear shorts year-round, and I wear, like, a hoodie, and that's it.
All right, man. All right. I don't get it.
Thanks, man. Kathy, your dad's that way?
Oh, my God, yeah.
With the heat or air conditioning?
Both.
Really?
Forever, yeah. I mean, I think it was probably stemmed from, like, your bill, like, what the bill would be. But, yeah, I mean, we grew up in a house with wall units, and in the middle of the night, he would go into everyone's room and turn their wall units on.
Oh, I would have stabbed him.
It was so cold in there. I'm like, you weren't in there.
Right.
You had to walk into the room to go, oh, it's chilly in here, and turn it on. So everyone would wake up sweating. And then, I mean, in our entire family, our extended family, everyone knows, like, if you're coming over in the winter, make sure you bring a sweater. Because it's going to be cold.
You're not even going to tell me that he banged Janis Joplin with the AC off. With that body odor?
Oof. Just made it worse. This text says UPS trucks have no AC because they stop so much, the condenser can't cool the system. Meaning they turn it off every time, I guess, they stop?
Well, you have to double flange the protractor.
Oh. Demark it.
Okay.
And, let me go to... Hang on, Mike is a, I'm not sure if he's a UPS driver or not. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, do you work for UPS, bud?
I used to.
Okay. Cool. And you wanted to comment on the AC unit?
He was just bragging.
Oh, yeah. I used to work for him. I just wanted to say that they don't put them in there because it's inefficient. It's a waste of money.
And, Mike, isn't it the case, so in the back of the UPS truck, the ceiling of the truck is kept purposefully...
It's white.
White, so that, it keeps the back lit up, right? So that it tends to get really hot back there.
Oh, it gets intense, man. It's like a sauna back there.
Yeah.
It's like 110 plus.
All right. Yeah.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. All right. I'm going to go to Aaron. Hi, Aaron. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, bitch.
Hey, bitch. What's up, bitch?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
So my husband is from Spain, and the vast majority of apartments in Spain do not have air conditioning, so he didn't grow up with it. He's not used to it. So, you know, when we moved here, he every time I would turn the air conditioning down to like 75, he's like, do you think we are the effing Rockefellers?
What the hell is this? Why do you think we made a money?
Has he come around at all?
I mean, right now it's like 72 and he walks around like Nanook of the North. Like he's got a sweatshirt on, sweatpants on. But there, you know, when we go to Spain, you know, it's like sweltering.
Yeah.
In the apartment where we stay, there was one time where there was like a 5-day heat wave. It was like 100 degrees, not a breeze. We like are sitting in the apartment. You can't go outside. We have the shades pulled down. It's dark in there. Like, we're taking cold showers and just, like, sitting still. Like,
it's no way to live. It's no way
it's
to live.
Horrible.
That's
it's
why
horrible.
In Europe and Spain and those countries, during a heat wave, you'll have thousands and
die.
Thousands and thousands of people die.
Right.
We were in, my sister and I went to Venice. We toured Europe a little bit and we stayed in Venice, and we were there in the heat of the summer. It was miserable. We were trying to cut costs as much as possible. So, number one, it's hard to find hotels that actually have air conditioning, or there were at the time. This was, you know, like 20-some-odd years ago, 25 years ago. And so we stayed at hotels that didn't have AC because they were cheaper. Miserable. Miserable. I mean, miserable?
That's how bad it was.
That's Italian for miserable.
I have multiple scabosis.
Can you see I got a multiple scabosis? I have a condition. It's a miserable.
Listen, it's
what? I tell you, I stayed in a hotel. The conditions were so miserable. And me with my multiple scabos.
However you want to, package this, it's what we've become used to.
Yeah.
And how often you find yourself in the scenario where you're without it.
Like, and this is the
once in a great while.
It's the age-old argument. Is Erin talking about her husband? I keep the AC in my room at night at 72. Would you consider that frosty?
No, that's way too hot.
I mean, come on. And with the fan blowing, and she comes in like, oh my God, this is a crypt. It's freezing.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, it was we got started on this conversation. If you're just joining us, I took a 9-hour road trip. An hour into it, our air conditioning unit stopped working. It was 95 degrees. And we had to drive back 9 hours as well, with that, condition too. But I felt so bad for my daughter. She had a headache.
Oh, and no.
She didn't feel well, slept the whole way back.
Oh man.
And like I said, you know, all the windows down, noisy as hell.
Yeah.
And
she has something really to tell her therapist.
I was really looking forward to, us talking.
Yeah.
And, you know, bonding even a little bit more. And it was, can you give me a soda? What? I said, give me a, God, okay, I'll get it for you. It was just yelling at each other.
Yeah.
Couldn't hear each other.
Having fun, kids! Yeah,
yeah! Whatever. All right, anyhow, holiday road.
Yeah. Yep.
Wonderful vacation. We need to take a break. We'll be right back. Stay put.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston Steve's Bizarre Final.
No, you can save. So call your local Allstate agent today. Are you in good hands? And that's your traffic report on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, thanks, Chris. Let's get to the Bizarre File.
Now,
Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, let's dive into it. It's brought to you by Mulchworks of Aston, PA, offering mulch, topsoil, compost, decorative and crushed stone, grass seed, straw, and more. Mulchworks delivers to residential and commercial markets. Visit them online, mulchthis.com, or you can stop by in person to meet their friendly staff. So this is wild. A visitor to Hawaii Volcanoes National Park climbed past the metal railing.
Oh boy.
Lost his footing and fell into the Kilauea Volcano caldera.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. This happened on Wednesday evening. Authorities got a call that a man had fallen into the caldera, which is the crater formed by previous volcanic activity.
I bet he feels stupid now.
He was with a group, which is why the call came in instantly. Park officials immediately launched a search and rescue operation around 9 p.m. They located the man. He was alive, but seriously injured.
Miraculous.
Perched on a narrow ledge 70 feet from the cliff edge.
That was a mistake.
Officials began a rescue operation, including the use of a rope system to extract the man from the ledge, and he was rescued in about an hour.
So other people risked their lives to go save this guy's life.
Yeah. He was airlifted to Hilo Medical Center, where he was treated for his injuries. He will probably face some charges because of that. He went past the railings.
Those fences are there for a reason.
Exactly.
Don't go past them.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're taking a selfie.
Two Florida lovebirds are facing criminal charges after they were caught having sex Monday night on the sidewalk right in front of police headquarters in Key West, Florida.
Wow, that's romantic.
Cops say that Gary Hill and Crystal Francis had shared a pint of vodka before they began trysting in public.
Let's tryst right here, like we did last summer. That's right.
Again?
Yeah.
So cops had learned about the coupling around 9 p.m. from a female passerby who reported the duo was poised to have sex in front of headquarters. And
yeah, here we go.
When a patrolman went outside to investigate, he spotted the 46-year-old Hill with his pants down having sex with Francis, who was not wearing pants or underwear.
God, I bet that looked super hot.
The couple lying down on the sidewalk was, quote, actively engaging in sexual intercourse, police charge. Hill explained when confronted by the officer, "I'm horny. She was giving it up to me right then and there." That's what he had to say.
You know, it favors the bold.
Hill would also chalk up the illicit encounter as a, quote, Key West moment.
Yeah, this one's going in my scrapbook.
Hill was arrested for indecent exposure and booked into the county jail on the misdemeanor charge. Hill,
hold on to the sewer grate and I'll take you from behind.
Hill, whose address is listed as the streets of Key West in jail records, is locked up on $7,500 bond and scheduled for arraignment.
Your life choices have not gone well if your address is the streets of Key West.
Francis was not arrested at the scene since she was severely intoxicated and was taken to a hospital for treatment, but an arrest warrant is likely in her future.
Does it say if they're going to stay together or not?
You know what? That's still up in the air. I'm not really sure. In Houston, the Harris County District Attorney's Office will determine whether a sheriff's deputy should be charged with a crime for knocking a man to the ground after encouraging the man to slap him.
Go ahead, slap me.
Yeah, listen to this.
I dare you.
So the deputy involved did not have his body camera on at the time. News obtained video that was recorded on another deputy's body camera. The incident happened outside of an IHOP. Deputies were there for a disturbance.
Tensions always run high when there's pancakes involved.
One deputy became engaged with a 61-year-old man and apparently was saying to the man, and they have this on video, "Get it off your chest. Slap the S out of me and get it off your chest. I'm giving you permission to slap the S out of me and get it off your chest and see what happens." The man slapped him.
Yeah.
He told him to. And the deputy knocked the dude on the ground. He slapped him harder and knocked him on the ground. They're not identifying the deputy or the man because no one is charged with the crime yet.
He didn't hear the part about, and then see what happens.
And then the deputy says, well, it doesn't matter.
No, it's by law, you're totally fine.
The deputy says, get up, that was stupid. That was effing stupid. The man was handcuffed, taken to jail, and charged with interfering with duties of a public servant. The next day, the charge was dismissed. Magistrate found no probable cause. Essentially, the cop was baiting him to do it. The deputy has been on active duty ever since and has faced no disciplinary action as of yet. Here's a follow-up story. You remember this. An iguana was injured when a man pulled the lizard from under his shirt and threw it at an Ohio restaurant manager. Remains in protective custody at a humane society that is awaiting court permission to provide medical treatment. The turquoise female iguana that police named Cooper, or no, I'm sorry, Copper, has a broken leg, metabolic bone disease, and other ailments.
Mm.
The animal needs surgery that will cost about $1,600.
Oh. Wow.
But that can't happen until a judge gives approval because the Humane Society is not its owner. The Humane Society is keeping, or I'm sorry, seeking a tax-deductible donation to pay for the surgery. Copper is receiving basic care for now to make the lizard as comfortable as possible. The iguana's 49-year-old owner has been charged with cruelty to animals and disorderly conduct, both misdemeanor charges. The man threw a menu at a waitress at a Perkins, and when a manager intervened, the man removed the iguana from beneath his shirt, swung it around, and threw it at him. And I guess it seemed like the thing to do at the time. So he injured the iguana, and now it's going to cost $1,600, and the Humane Society is trying to raise the money to save him.
Did he have a concealed carry for the iguana?
You know what? They didn't indicate that, and maybe that's something his lawyer needs to work on.
I would look into it.
And there you go. That's what I have for you in the Bizarre File for now. And we'll take a break, and we'll come back in just a moment. Make sure that you stay with us.
Hey, Philly. Come socialize with us. Follow 933 WMMR on Twitter and Instagram, or be our friend on Facebook. See photos, videos, and random behind-the-scenes stuff. Some stuff you don't want to see. Plus, it's completely safe for work. If you work here, that is.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And Hollywood Trash is brought to you by the Craft Beer Trail of Greater Philadelphia. Five counties with over 90 breweries. Learn more at visitphilly.com.
All right, what are the stories you have for us today, Mr. Morrison?
Well, Bachelorette host Chris Harrison announcing he will not be able to attend the wedding of Bachelor couple Ashley Iaconetti and Jared Haben. Harrison says he did everything he could, but was unable to get out of a desire not to be there. John Gosselin, formerly of John and K Plus 8, was seen out at Rehoboth Beach over the weekend. Gosselin reportedly soaked up some sun while wrestling seagulls for half-eaten garbage.
Oh, my God.
And finally, Leonardo DiCaprio laughing off tabloid rumors that his girlfriend Camilla Maroney is pregnant with his child. DiCaprio is calling the story fall-down funny, especially since Camilla is only 6 years old.
Oh,
and that's your Hollywood Trash.
I do have a number of stories that center around the world of outer space. If you would like to hear from the Space Cowboy.
From outer space. And this will give Kathy time to fall asleep.
Yes.
But you shouldn't, though. You might have a concussion.
That's right. I need to stay awake.
Well, I thought this was nice. Just a week before the first crew took up residency on the International Space Station 20 years ago.
Yes.
NASA's 100th space shuttle mission landed back on Earth. And to celebrate that milestone, the Space Agency Employee Morale Organization had distributed a special Snoopy doll clad in a spacesuit that recognized the Peanuts pooch as a symbol of excellence for the human space flight program. So 2 decades later, the comic strip Beagle is back at work at NASA promoting new safety, crew safety on a new series of posters that commemorate. It is now apparently 20 years that humans have been living in the space station.
That's pretty cool because Peanuts and the that whole world was part of the Apollo 11, and they had a whole bunch of stuff that was tied to that, all sorts of collectible stuff with Snoopy in an astronaut's costume.
Right.
It was great.
Right.
And Woodstock.
The four SFA posters, which is the Space Flight Awareness Program, feature illustrations of Snoopy at the International Space Station, each with a different message for employees. On one, for example, Snoopy is depicted floating inside the cupola as the Earth below fills the view through the module's many windows. It's kind of like this. It's the place that you go on the space station to get a look.
Man, that's where I want to go. That's where I go first. I put my bed in there.
Yeah, oh, seriously.
It would just be amazing to be able to experience that.
Oh, man. So cool.
There's one in the cupola, and the Earth below fills...
You call it a cupola.
...the view through the module's many windows. Underneath the scene is written, "Happiness is keeping our crews safe." And it says, "From launch to landing." Another poster shows Snoopy inside the orbital laboratory with a view looking down the length of the station. The message to workers reads, "One team, one mission, leading discovery, improving life on Earth." And then a third design has the Charles Schulz character set against a simplified backdrop with the words "for the benefit of all." And lastly, the fourth poster features a space-suited Snoopy performing a spacewalk outside of the ISS and reads, "Mission success is in your hands."
When was the last, who was the last person to board the space station, and when did they do so? Does it say?
You know what? It does not. It mainly talks about the first time in this particular article.
Right. Well, that the launch is happening, I think, next week, because this is the launch that we're trying to coordinate to be able to speak to somebody on the space station. So they're sending up, I believe, three more astronauts next week. And then camp out is the week after that. So we're trying to work out these details.
I wonder that you have to imagine they're performing. They would be, it would be extensive anyway, but you would have to imagine they're going way overboard in like COVID protection. You you can't send someone up who's, you know.
Risk of they already, at least I know in the earlier days of the space program and actually in latter as well, because they would quarantine them beforehand on the off chance that they might pick something up and then go up there and be stuck up there and be sick and then pass that on to other crew members. And then they would quarantine them in the original, you know, Apollo programs. Actually, Mercury and Gemini as well, they'd come back and they'd quarantine them because we didn't know what was out there. We had no idea. They could have picked up some kind of space virus or something.
If you look in, space gorillas could have bitten them and they could have been infected. I would say the scene that is really kind of indicative of what they would go through is in the First Man, when Neil Armstrong is in, and they're all in that sort of quarantine area, and they're looking through the glass at their loved ones.
By the way, Steve, I watched the first episode of the Right Stuff series. Really, really good.
It is good.
Much more in depth of a story and some of the personal dynamics they're going to explore than the movie, which was outstanding.
Disney Plus, if you're interested.
Yeah, it's really good. So, by the way, the station, the International Space Station's first crew was called Expedition 1, and that launched on October 31st, 2000. So, yeah, we're right about 20 years.
That's amazing.
A shade over 20 years, and began living on the ISS 2 days later.
Okay, so does the International Space Station take the same path every time?
Do you know what I mean? Same exact orbit path?
Yeah.
So here's the deal. When you, if you have an app where you follow the ISS and you look at the orbit of it and where it goes, it pops up all over the place. You can see it twice in one day sometimes in different parts of the sky. And because its orbit is not the same as where we are spinning, say.
We're
spinning here, and it might be spinning this way, which means it's going to come up all over on the
On
the horizon.
All right, so we spin east to west or whatever,
right?
In
a certain direction, and it's going. It's not going with that or against that specifically. But Nick, do they change orbit patterns?
I think so because of what you were describing, because of the way that we are able to see it, and that changes on the reg.
Once you get into three dimensions and how things move in space, man, I get
away.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Especially when, you know, and no up or down.
Yeah.
So that becomes a complicating issue.
So it was NASA astronaut Bill Shepard and cosmonauts Sergei Krikalev and Yuri Gadzenko.
I am big fan of Snoopy.
Of Russia's space agency Roscosmos spent 141 days in orbit before handing off the space station to its next crew. And since then, 241 people have served on 64 expedition crews as residents aboard the complex. Is it ever empty? Is there ever
anyone up there?
I wonder if it's been that
way. I hope they leave the lights on then.
I wonder if it's been that way for 20 years. If it's never been unoccupied.
I just want to say that when we got here, we did not think we would like you much, none neither. But if we could get along with American astronauts, then maybe there is hope for the world.
I didn't know that's where they got that.
Yeah.
Well, Snoopy has served as mascot at NASA since 1968. Steve, during the Apollo, Skylab, and Space Shuttle programs.
I remember purchasing collectibles.
Similar posters were displayed at NASA facilities across the U.S. to remind employees that the astronauts' lives were their collective responsibility.
Nick, have you gotten any traction with...
It's funny, Casey, and we can talk more about this off air. There's one guy that's really helpful and really eager, and then there's
and
another guy.
Dick.
a little bit of a dick. And so I've been forced to deal with the dick a little bit more frequently.
Space dicks are the worst.
And it's just a little frustrating because the guy, there's one guy who is from Philly, knows the show, knows the station, really wants to help make it happen. He's not the the guy in charge. But be that as it may, the next launch is scheduled for the 14th, and it's going to launch from Cape Kennedy, which is unusual. Most of the launches have been out of Russia or Kazakhstan over the last two
From the
two
Star
decades.
City, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That would be so phenomenal. We've been trying to work on that for quite a while to get someone actively in orbit around the Earth. And carry on a conversation with him.
It'd be pretty amazing. Yeah.
All right. I'll give you one more. Is there any space shopping stories?
let me see if I can find a way to make that up. No.
All right.
This I thought was pretty damn cool. There's over 4,000 exoplanets that have been discovered to date. So there's worlds out there that are so weird. They put Doctor Who writers to shame, and the latest to join the ranks is an exoplanet called K2141b.
Now, when you say exo, these are the planets you're most likely to get kisses and hugs on, right?
Yeah, exo planets. No, these are planets that are, I don't know.
Supporting life, possibly?
Not supporting life, because I'll explain what this one is all about. K2141b. Is a scorching planet where it actually rains rocks.
Wow, that's cool.
Whips wind around at supersonic speeds, and huge swaths of the surface are covered in lava oceans.
There is one positive to this planet, though, Preston. They say if you happen to have darkening windows, they would stay bright all the time.
It might be worth exploring.
It would be worth rainstorms with boulders if you happen to work in a place where the windows always turn dark prematurely.
By the way, exoplanet is a term used to describe planets that are just outside of our own solar system.
Okay, there we go.
Elsewhere.
That's what Kathy was saying.
The solar system. So this was discovered in 2018 by Kepler's second light mission.
Yeah.
K2-141b is a rocky super Earth that's about 50% bigger than our own home planet. I didn't even see that coming.
I'm going to train on that planet for my fight with Drago.
But it's five times denser, which would make
sense.
That's
about right.
Yeah.
I know some of you exoers didn't like me none, but I didn't like you none neither. And I don't like your rainstorm, because they keep breaking my umbrella.
Oh, okay, yeah, it's rocks, for crying out loud. So, anyhow, yeah, it's a rocky planet, and it has one. Could you imagine a rocky planet, everyone?
Hey, Rocky, glad to be here. Rocky, where you go? I'm a boxer, too. Yeah.
One of them has their little daughter with them.
That's right. It's Rockalina.
Yeah. Rockalina.
Yeah. It could be Rockies from different eras. It could be Rocky 1 and Rocky 6 and Rocky Balboa. Yeah.
Hey, don't talk to the one for number 5. He's almost a brain dead. Really? For the first, I'm like Stephen Hawking compared to that one.
The elite Rockies.
Oh, wow.
I'll talk to those. Yeah. Yeah. I got to move out. There's a bunch of Rocky Fibers moving in.
So this planet is five times denser.
I don't want those Rocky Fibers in my kid's school.
It has one of the shortest years of any known planet. It zips around its host star.
See you next year.
So listen, it zips around its host star once every 6.7 hours.
Wow.
That's how fast.
That's a year.
Yeah.
So, God, imagine, you'd be perpetually buying Christmas presents.
That's like Mercury, man.
Yeah,
you know, Mercury's man. Thank you. It's Mercury's day is longer than its year.
Yeah.
Mercury's day is longer than its year.
It takes longer for Mercury to rotate
on its axis
than it does for it to go around the sun.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyhow, you can't get as close as this one is to a star and not feel the burn, so temperatures are expected to soar. In the new study, researchers simulated the atmosphere and weather of K2-141b by studying the spectrum of light from the star filtering through the planet's atmosphere. So the simulations suggest that K2-141b has a system similar to Earth's water cycle.
Well, you don't like my planet?
flew.
It stinks! That's right, it stinks! That ain't you!
It is a system similar to Earth's water cycle, fluid oceans, and atmospheric vapor that condenses and falls as rain. The difference is, though.
I kiss you.
Do you want to kiss me? The difference is that on this exoplanet, the cycle isn't water, but rocks. Okay, so that's why it's rocky. K2...
Hear that rock?
One,
yeah, it's a mind blower.
K2-141...
He's the president, Mickey.
Is it's tidally locked to its star, meaning about two-thirds of the planet is constantly bathed in daylight. It doesn't rotate on its axis. It always is facing...
The sun.
The same part is always facing that star.
That's amazing. Oh, how big is their sun, do they say?
It doesn't say.
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Are they exoplanets outside of our solar system, or it's in another solar system?
It's in another solar system.
Okay.
It's
got their own sun.
It's a ways away.
Carry on, my wayward son. Thank
you. So that heats up the day side to a sweltering 5,432 degrees Fahrenheit.
That's good weather to train in.
Melting.
Wayward son. There'll be peace when you are gone. That's right, it stinks!
Yeah.
Lay your head to rest. Kiss Cuff and Link, good night.
You're better than that.
He kisses them good night.
Yeah, he loves his turtles.
Can't you get like salmonella from kissing turtles?
I don't like that.
But butt kiss. You can kiss him all you want.
I kiss his ass all the time.
You kiss his butt.
Yeah.
So 5,432 degrees, melting the surface into a vast lava ocean, which is 62 miles deep. You know, they're estimating it.
62
miles deep.
That's how deep the lava ocean is. But it doesn't stop there. That heat is enough to actually vaporize rocks, creating an atmosphere of largely silicon dioxide.
So it probably does stink.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah. Stinks.
Yeah.
Stinks. Smells like farts all the time. Trying to leave a lava 60 miles deep. Stinks! That's right, it stinks!
Meanwhile, the night side of the planet, that's where the parties are, never sees any light, so temperatures there plunge below 328 degrees Fahrenheit.
Then over to the night side! Yeah!
That's good training weather, too, like when you were in Russia. He was in the snow.
I mean, up a mountain.
Yeah, 328 degrees, negative 328 degrees Fahrenheit.
It's chilly.
Yeah. That huge temperature differential creates incredibly strong winds, clocking speeds over 3,100 miles per hour.
Hey, dude, where's my sweater?
Yeah. Two worlds collide. This is from Rocky IV, right?
Yeah.
What's the name of the song? The Burning Heart.
Yes.
In the burning heart, is about to burst, or whatever it is.
Is this Survivor 2?
Don't eat salmonella.
Yeah.
Liverwurst.
I'm pretty certain this is Survivor.
He's bound to west, one man against man. Can
I want to hear that. You stopped it?
I didn't stop it.
Well, that's all we have?
Why do you end before the chorus?
God damn it, man. I'm sorry. You know what? I'll make it better with this.
What's that, bro?
Okay.
Survivor Burning Heart it was. Yeah. When you
are done. Okay.
Wasn't as big a hit as Eye of the Tiger.
So these supersonic winds carry the vaporized rocks around to the night side of the planet, where it cools, condenses, and then falls as rocky rain.
That's right.
So it actually, that's...
Rocky rain.
Rocky rain.
Why don't y'all put up your hands? Rocky rain. Rocky rain. Clap along if you remember this one.
Yeah.
One guy clapped.
Well, how do you clap along to this song, Rock?
I don't know. I'm dealing with rock storms.
There it is.
I never meant to cause you no trouble. I never meant to cause you no pain. Hey. I just want you to realize you probably didn't like me much neither. I like you. I wanna live in a place where rocks don't come down in the form of rain.
Rocky
rain is a pain.
Ow! Yes.
Rocky rain causes pain. Come on, everybody, put up your hands. Even that big guy, the big glasses in the back.
Oh, the club owner?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Obscure reference. Okay. Anyhow.
Yeah. Good work there, Casey.
Yeah. Oh, Casey has his hands up.
Yeah. In the air. The one guy.
Yeah, working hard. Let me see them tries.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it's not a completely stable system on.
It doesn't sound like it.
K2141B.
Realtors must have a nightmare there.
The team says it takes a while for the magma ocean to flow from the night side to the day side, so the overall mineral composition of the surface and atmosphere of the planet will probably change over time.
Day side. Oh!
The day man?
Opposite of the night side.
Whoa!
Champion of the sun.
Oh.
60 miles of molten lava for everyone.
There have been a lot of references in this conversation.
Yes, there have.
I'd like to see a Venn diagram of all of them, because we got Kansas and Survivor and Sunny and...
Yep, Rocky, purple, stuff. Purple Rain. I got all of it, man. We have actual, and in that somewhere, some actual information that's
but
passed
the most
along.
Laughable part, we get paid for this.
I mean, there was literally Sunny D and purple stuff in that, right?
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this all remains simulated speculation for now, but the researchers say that their predictions could be checked in the near future.
This is fascinating. In the beginning of the movie, the George Powell movie, War of the Worlds, they have, and this is stuff they found out tremendous... additional information concerning these planets, just the planets in our solar system, the kind of savage environments that that exist. And there's an artist who years ago used to do stuff for NASA named Chesley Bonestall, I believe his name is. And he did, you know, like before computer renderings, depictions of what these planets would look like. I mean, yeah. It's just the most savage stuff you could possibly imagine. You like think nightmarish.
About, you think about sci-fi depictions of what planets might look like, right? And now we're learning that they actually do exist. I was thinking about Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
Mustafar, at the end of that, where Obi-Wan and Anakin Skywalker have that
big fight.
They have a big lightsaber fight. But that's what this looks like. That planet looks like this one that actually now exists per these descriptions.
Dude, and like Venus, one that looks beautiful from our point of view, is very, very hostile.
Deadly.
By the way, we have the hook for the song from Rocky IV.
Okay. We can skip to
skip it. Yeah. Let's get to the burning heart of this song here.
Yes, please.
Burning heart of the planet.
One thing before you play that on this planet, okay, at the Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah,
they're in proximity.
Oh, they would burn up.
They would be incinerated
unless they're surrounded by the Force and it's somehow protecting.
They got those little robots that are protected, and so they're cruising around on those robots and they're protecting them.
Mm-hmm.
And those robots.
But I'm saying, Nick, the general heat
just being
in proximity,
being a mile from that would burn you.
They're not even sweating. Okay,
they are wielding lightsabers.
Yes,
mm-hmm. And can use a magical, all-knowing Force to throw lightning at one another too. So
on the planet, there's a whole damn...
You have to suspend disbelief on some levels. Also, this planet shows up in Rogue One.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Hang on. Let me play. Right. In the burning heart, just about to burst. There's a quest for answers and a quench of the thirst. In the darkest night, rising like a spider. In the burning... Rising like a spider? Is that what he said?
No. Say that.
I would think it would be like an eagle.
Spider extends his wings.
Yeah. I thought it was an itsy bitsy spider.
Itsy bitsy spider. Run up the water spout.
So, yeah.
Like a burning heart. Yeah. Like the spider who flies into the night.
Oh, my God.
With the eight-legged bird.
We're getting things mixed up.
Yeah.
Here. Okay.
Are we?
Anyhow.
Freaking weird stuff on this planet.
This was from the Space Cowboy Files.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh,
so.
Man. I even lost the Space Cowboy song.
I'm sorry.
And we do have to move along.
We
somebody
do.
Gently
that's why
nudge Kathy.
I'm wrapping that up. We're done now, Kath. Oh, you can sorry. Fall out of your chair now.
That's what happened last time. Just start talking about things
all right.
I don't care about.
That's it. Yep. I actually have more. So, Kathy, oh, don't you fret. Don't you fret. We'll find another time to pass that information on. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. We'll get to the Bizarre File. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.